is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
McCoy at the 10, at the 5, into the end zone. Touchdown! What a great run! Fires down the middle. It is intercepted by Micah Hyde. Intercepted! Tre Day! Tre'Davious White! He's in trouble. He is sacked. Jordan Poyer came unblocked. It is Jerry Hughes who brings him down. What a big play there! Coy, much to the right. Outrunning everybody. 10, 5, touchdown! Touchdown! Touchdown, Buffalo!
Live from One Bills Drive, this is the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts.
Good afternoon. Happy Thursday, everybody. Welcome to the show, the John Murphy Show. I am John Murphy, joined by our special guest host, still getting set up over here, former Bills special teams ace from the NFL on CBS, Steve Tasker, in studio with us. Steve, welcome.
Good to have you. Sorry about that, Murph. Had a little...
That's okay.
Drop my equipment here just before we went on.
You're
going
to be okay. Steve's with us from now until 3 o'clock. We're here on the air until 3 to talk about Bills football and the NFL with you. And we're just about a week away from the combine. You're not going to the combine with us, right? I don't blame you.
Yeah. No.
I don't blame you. You did the Super Bowl stuff.
It's your turn.
It's my turn to go. And
the combine's fun,
good.
Though,
yeah, right? It is. You know, with the combine, everybody's there, which makes it good as far as NFL people. There's tons of media there. And it really is a chance to look forward instead of looking back. And placement of the combine, when it comes, you know, a week or next week, it'll be 2 weeks before free agency. That makes it interesting, the combine. It'll be obviously a couple of months before the draft, which is what the focus of the combine attention is. I'm looking forward to the combine, kind of change up the narrative a little bit here. We'll be there. Me and Donald will be there next Wednesday through Friday here at the on the show at the NFL Scouting Combine in Indianapolis. Yes, I am looking forward to it.
Yeah,
can't wait.
And it's cool, too, when you go to those places, like it was at the Super Bowl. Everybody's there.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is. And this is different than the Super Bowl when you get a lot of coaches and executives, guys who are actually in the nitty-gritty. At the Super Bowl, like you saw, you get, you know, celebrities and former players and all the kind of people who are associated with the NFL but not the NFL. The Combine is the nuts and bolts of the whole show.
Yeah.
And I think that's pretty cool.
We're looking at that next week. We're also going to talk today with a couple of pretty good guests, Peter King, who is, of course, from NBC, NFL on NBC. Peter King, former Sports Illustrated NFL writer. His website, MMQB. You know, Peter King will be joining us coming up at the bottom of this hour, about 30 minutes from now. Coming up at 2 o'clock today, we're going to be talking, I think it's 2, right? Yeah, Bill Barnwell from ESPN.com. Bill Barnwell's written a couple of interesting posts lately about this offseason, about how teams set themselves for the offseason. Bill Barnwell is the ESPN staff writer, host of the Bill Barnwell Show. So that's what's coming up. As we continue our we continue our pre-combine evaluation of where teams are, where they need to be, we'll talk about the Bills' running backs today, who they have and what they need, and fullbacks. Tomorrow we'll finally get into quarterbacks, the final day before our combine coverage. So all of that coming up on the show today. The phone line's open, 803-0550, the number. Outside Buffalo, toll-free call, 1-888-550-2550. On Twitter, not necessarily a poll from us today, but certainly a topic of discussion on Twitter, as, again, we approach the real, the daunting part of the offseason when teams start to make their moves a week away from the combine, and a couple of weeks away from free agency, a couple of months away from the NFL draft. We want to know from you about what the Bills' overall philosophical approach should be. And, Steve, this is a topic that came out of discussions we had this morning with you. On Twitter, we're just asking you, what one surprise move would make the Bills better this offseason? Steve Tasker has some thoughts on that. Want to know your thoughts on that. The phone line's open, 803-0550, and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Look, there's conventional wisdom. I mean, draft a quarterback, sign a quarterback, go out and play, you know.
I like the way you say that. Then there's the Steve Tasker
And then there's the Steve Tasker theory, a surprise move that would make the Bills better this offseason.
Well, this is dangerous because you know what's going to happen. You asked me for this plan, and I came up with it. And I love when we put this out to our listeners because you talk, say, what's a surprise move? Then they come out with, like, let's trade for Aaron Rodgers kind of move, right? I mean, you know, that I get that. It's not going to happen, but my surprise move is, I think, a viable plan to move through this offseason and still continue to build the roster and go with some of the pieces you have. Obviously, it's going to start with – my plan starts kind of with the quarterback spot.
Yeah, because that's where the Bills have to start.
Yeah, that's where they start. And I think one thing that's possible for them to do that would make some sense to me and nobody else probably – I think that if they can't trade up to get one of those quarterbacks, and perhaps even if they do – I think one move is there's no question they're going to have – if they're going to move on from Tyrod Taylor, which I think is at this point maybe a given. I think it is a given. They move on from Tyrod Taylor, and they sign a veteran free agent like Josh McCown, or who just came on the market, or looks like he's going to come on the market, is Trevor Siemian from Denver, who's a solid guy, played for him last year, and has done some nice things in the league and was a surprise guy. A guy like Josh McCown is more interesting to me because he has made it clear that he wants to be a coach. And I tell him, I bring him in, and I stand pat in the draft, and I get a quarterback later in the draft. You pick a guy, or if somebody offers it to you, yeah, go ahead and get the guy, jump up and get the guy if you want, whatever. But build your roster through the draft. Build up your front seven, get an extra offensive lineman for depth, and make the roster where you want it to be. But here's the quarterback scenario that you kind of half smiled at me when I said. You get a guy like Josh McCown. He said he wants to be a coach. Bring him in, sign him to whatever it takes. For certainly a medium deal. It's not going to be a $25 million thing. Pay the guy $8 million, $10 million, whatever it is, below market value for a quarterback. He has said he wants to be a coach. Put that on the table for him. Say, listen, here's your contract. Now, if you're a starter, you're going to be compensated like a starter. We'll give you, a bonus for each start you have that will put you at the end of the season. If you start 16 games, you're going to be making a lot more money, that kind of thing. But one other incentive that you could give him, say, listen, we're bringing you in as a backup. We're going to play our young quarterback, be it Nate Peterman or Baker Mayfield or Mason Rudolph or whatever one of the other guys you can get down the line, Josh Allen, whoever you get. We're going to play the young guy. The better that young guy plays, the more money you make, Josh McCown. You're incentivized to be a mentor and teach that kid how to prepare, teach him what it takes. You've been around the block as much as anybody who's ever played the game at quarterback. Even my buddy Steve Berline, who played 17 years, who I'm in the booth with at CBS. I mean, you get those guys, they're an asset. McCown has stated publicly and often to coaches everywhere and media guys like me, he wants to be a coach. Give him that opportunity and incentivize it by saying, listen, your quarterback that you're trying to mentor, if he plays well, you get paid. And at the end of this, if our staff is still here, you can come on the staff. After you're done playing, we'll offer you a coaching spot after you're done playing. So you get this young quarterback mentored, you coach him up, you help us get him ready, you get in the film room with him, you're a teammate, you're a pal, you're a mentor, you show him what's up, you get the most out of him, you get paid when he plays well, and then when it's all over, you can slide into the – because let me tell you something, these quarterbacks and all these players, you ask Frank Reich, it's not easy to just turn off being a player and all of a sudden turn around and call whoever you want to call and say, I want to be a quarterback coach in the NFL. Yeah. That doesn't happen. They don't just give that to guys. That's a job that's earned. And you start by quality control, a graduate assistant kind of thing in the NFL. I mean, you don't get paid much, and it's a lot of hard work. But if you got a guy like McCown who's willing to say, hey, man, I could skip that step and go right to coaching actual NFL players after I do this mentoring thing for the Bills, that's a thing. And that would be my plan as a GM, head coach. Go out there and find a guy who is that type of free agent, a Josh McCown type of free agent. You can go back through the years and find other guys that are there.
Well, is there anybody now available?
Well, I like that Trevor Simeon's a kind of a good, and he's not as good a player as McCown is,
no,
in my opinion.
And he's younger.
And he's younger.
Probably wants to play.
He probably does. But you know what? The writing's on the wall for him. He came in as from Northwestern. He was a late round pick, if at all. You got to get a guy. Siemian is not as good as McCown, no question. But that's the ilk of the guy I'm talking about. And I think there's got to be guys out there who want to be that guy for players.
We're talking with Steve Tasker. He's co-hosting today. What one surprise move would make the Buffalo Bills better this offseason? That's Steve's take. Like to hear yours, 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Couple of questions about your plan is bring in, say, Josh McCown, incentivize him to act as a teammate coach, another quarterback coach for whatever young rookie you wind up drafting.
If his protege plays well, he gets paid.
Yeah. Does he need that? I mean, wouldn't he do that naturally? McCown, wouldn't he help out his teammate naturally?
Yeah, but,
does he need to be incentivized financially?
Yeah, but the Browns will do that too. And so will the 49ers. And so, or not the 49ers, but so will other teams who are going to draft a young player. So will the Colts would do that to give Andrew Luck another room guy to bounce. Backup quarterbacks are valuable. We've all seen that. And ask Nick Foles and the Eagles how valuable backup quarterbacks are. Ask all these teams how valuable that is. You get a guy like that, but he can do that anywhere. But he won't get paid if the front guy's playing well. He sits there and does nothing. He won't have skin in that game. Hmm. You incentivize it and make it so, and that will incentivize him to put effort into that young guy, no matter what. Now, not that Josh wouldn't do that otherwise.
Right.
But it makes it worth it for him. And it also is incentive for him to come to Buffalo and not some other team like Cleveland, like Jacksonville, like Arizona, like Denver. It's an incentive for him to come to Buffalo. And when plus, when you put that out there with a caveat that after it's all over, if you want a job on our staff, I'll give it to you.
All right, what about this all over thing? You said at the end. What are we talking about? Is that 1 year you do this deal? Is that a couple of years to break the rookie quarterback in? I mean, how long a time frame are we talking about?
You ride it for as long as it'll go. You write it for as long as it'll go. And you got to keep him – and you can be very open and honest with the guy. Hey, listen, this may be a 1 year deal. It may be a 3 year deal. We don't know. But as long as your guy plays, you're going to get paid. And at the end of it, when you can't throw, when we're going to cut you, we'll release you, we'll do it right after a season maybe, or we'll do it at a time when you can, you know, rotate in and acclimate into a coaching career here in Buffalo with this staff. I mean, I can't – if the staff gets fired, you know, obviously this deal goes up in smoke with the staff. But I think it's a great way to bring a guy who's a quality player, a quality guy, and a guy who's got a lot of experience, who was just playing in this division just last year as a starter. You get him in the room with your young quarterback, whoever it may be, whether it's Nate Peterman or one of these guys, hot shots that you're going to draft. Even if you stand pat in the draft and draft one of these guys in the fifth, sixth, seventh round, there's a big long list of kids that are coming out. You know, you get a Lamar Jackson who comes in, whoever it is. You got a guy there, and you've incentivized him to do exactly what you need him to do, and that's be a mentor and a coach. And you prepare him for that role.
That's Steve's surprise offseason move that would improve the Bills. What's yours? Give us a call. The lines are open. 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-552-550. A surprise offseason move that would improve the Bills. My surprise is probably not going to be that popular with people, but my surprise would be stay where you are in the draft. Do not make a big move up. Stay where you are. Keep those picks. I haven't seen any of these quarterbacks impress me to the point where I'm willing to surrender all of the volume of picks I have to move up to get one of them. Not Rosen. If there's anyone who might do that, it's the USC quarterback. But even then, I don't know if I would surrender a bunch of picks to move up. Stay where you are. Draft a quarterback at 21 or 22 or in the second round with one of those two picks and see where you're at. Bring in say goodbye to Tyrod Taylor. Bring in another veteran, maybe Josh McCown. I'd hope you could get a little bit better player than Josh McCown.
Right, that's the line.
That would be my
That's my question for your scenario. What's the line? I mean, you got to have a list of guys you would take to do that, to stand pat, and a veteran quarterback to bring in, and the guys who there's no way you want to bring this guy in. You know, you don't want to – I mean, I'm pretty sure you don't – I mean, RG3 is below that line. You're not going to bring RG3 in to be your quarterback.
No.
You know what I'm saying?
Be honest with you, McCown might be below that line for me.
Right, okay.
You know, as far as a player.
Well, okay, then there's got to be name out there. Is it going to be – obviously, you want to get – you're talking about high-priced guys now. You're talking about Case Keenum. You're talking about Sam Bradford. You're talking about Teddy Bridgewater. You're talking about Nick Foles if he was available. You're talking about – you know, there's a whole long
Karen.
List – McCarron.
That would be
McCarron.
One of my
I'm with you on McCarron. I like McCarron. Kirk Cousins.
No, too much money.
Yeah, well, there you go. And so all of that stuff comes into the play. Now, if you're going to draft a kid, you're not going to be paying him.
Right.
Which is a plus.
Yeah.
So then you can go out and get one of those guys. But you got to get one of those guys. And if you don't, then you are stuck with moving up in the draft and trying to get one of the young guys.
Yeah.
But you think they should stand pat and just get
21, 22
like a free agent?
Yeah, and get the rest, you know, fill those other needs you have with those draft picks you have.
I'll tell you one thing that scares me about this quarterback class. There's like two seniors in it.
Yeah.
Darnold is a redshirt sophomore.
Yeah.
You know, Rosen's a junior.
I agree.
Mayfield is a senior. Lamar Jackson's a junior. Mason Rudolph's a senior. But the rest of those guys are all juniors. And Darnold is a redshirt sophomore. I mean, that's not a lot of football at that level.
I know.
So that to your point, you're right. Those guys have got a lot of question marks, and they're not very old. I mean, I don't know. Maybe some of those guys are like the old Texas from Texas where they start their kids in kindergarten at 7 years old. So by the time they're a senior in high school, they're 20, you know. So they're physically gifted. You know, by that time, they're mature men, and they can get a college scholarship. I mean, that's what they used to do in Texas.
We got Steve in here until 3 o'clock today in for Donald Jones. Donald will be back next week talking to him with Peter King from mmqb.si.com, Monday Morning Quarterbacks. Peter King's going to join us bottom of this hour. 2 o'clock, Bill Barnwell from ESPN, trying to solve not just the quarterback issue, but the entire issue for the Bills offseason. What should their approach be? And do you have a surprise offseason move that you think would improve the Bills? Give us a call. The lines are open, 803-0550. Toll free from outside Buffalo, 1-888-550-2550. Quiet day here. The Bills are preparing for next week's combine around the league. Not a whole lot going on. Adam Vinatieri finishes up that deal with the Indianapolis Colts. He's signed there. Vontae Davis finished up his series of visits around the NFL and says he's going to think about what his next move should be. And that's really about it going on in the National Football League today. Word on Alshon Jeffrey out at least 6 months after a rotator cuff injury. It's time for you to talk now. The phone line's open, 803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550.
Sorry, Murph. Yeah. People are already starting to chime in on Twitter. They're saying, you know, Murph's exactly right. You know, you got so many picks at the top of this draft. Make them all count. No matter what, let a quarterback fall to whatever the best quarterback available is at 21 or 22, you take him. And then you get your edge rusher, you get your defensive tackle, you get an offensive lineman that adds depth and maybe even a starter, and you go from there. Free agency, you address maybe one more corner, maybe one and a half more corners. You know, Colvin, the slot corner from Jacksonville, is going to be available. It looks like he's coming away from Jacksonville. So there's going to be guys available. And for this regime, I think, Murph, the thing that gets lost in all this, Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean aren't just going to sign a guy like Vontae Davis because he's a good player. He's got to be their type of player.
Yeah.
He's got to have a right personality. He's got to have the right reputation. He's got to have the right outlook. He's got to have the right presence about him to fit into their locker room that they're trying to build. They won't just sign guys just to sign them. And that means that the Bills are going to look a little bit like the Patriots do sometimes, where they sign this guy like, why are they paying Chris Hogan $5 million? What are they doing? Well, they know what they're doing. And that's what a little bit of what Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean have done here. They're getting rid of some splashy names that we all know about in, you know, Marcel and Sammy and the middle linebacker they sent to Kansas City.
In the trade last year.
Yeah.
Reggie Ragland.
Yeah. There's some pretty splashy names. They got rid of, brought guys in that are like, okay, right. E.J. Gaines, we didn't know who E.J. Gaines was. Jordan Matthews, we didn't know who Jordan Matthews was. And while there was some talent difference, Jordan Matthews was a lot better teammate and a lot better guy ended up being than Sammy Watkins had been for the team. Now, certainly Sammy had flashed for the team, but Jordan Matthews was consistent, and he was a guy that made other guys around him better. And he was an option all the time. So this is something I think Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott aren't going to go out in this free agent market like for Vontae Davis and some of these splashy names. A guy like a slot corner from Jacksonville, that's right in the wheelhouse of where the Bills are kind of looking to sign a guy. You know, the people in Buffalo, I don't know who Colvin is, but he's a pretty good player. I know that. I've seen him play. He's not a splash. He's not a guy who's looking for a third contract or a $15 million signing bonus, that kind of thing. He's a guy you can pick up. Now, he's going to make good money, but that's exactly the wheelhouse. That's what I'm looking for more from this regime because that's the way they do business.
Steve's got thoughts on a surprise offseason move that would improve the Bills. What are your thoughts? Line's open, 803-0550, toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. Let's start with Danny in Pittsford, New York. Danny, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, how's it going, Murph?
Good.
Steve, I just want to say the McCown plan, I think that is just genius. And looking at his career, the
genius,
amount
he said.
Bounce around, I think he would be all for it. Also, I think anything other than treating up for the number two pick would be seen as a massive failure. We traded Sammy Darby, traded back last year. I just think that there's no way they can't go after that number two pick. But
I get you. You say, Danny, and you're right. I mean, but going for it and getting it are two different things. I mean, you may go for it, but if the price is too high, I'm with you. I'm with Murph. Don't go there. Why don't you sit at 2021 and take the Richmond quarterback? You know, take him. Give him a chance. There's a lot of people who think the guy's going to be a wide receiver in the NFL. But I'll tell you this, he's pretty physically gifted for a wideout. And you know, his skill set, getting the ball in his hands every play with his arm, are pretty intriguing. But by the same token, a lot of people say, hey, that's just Tyrod 2.0.
You know,
and that's pretty frustrating.
We've gone through this with Donald the last couple of days this week, Steve, and this is our first opportunity to have you on the show to talk about it. And I understand this, but there is a significant block of Bills fans who think you got all these picks. The reason you have all these picks is to get a quarterback. This is the year. And almost ignoring what's available out there. You know what I mean?
Right.
I get it. You know, they have ammunition. They have those five picks in the first 95. I understand that. But if the players aren't right, and if you don't believe in them with some of the off-field stuff you talked about a minute ago and some of the on-field performance issues, I don't think you just, you know, just because you need them doesn't mean that one of these guys, Darnold, Rosen, I don't, that doesn't make them the right guy. That's all I'm saying.
Let me tell you, you're right.
More cautious about it.
Let me give you another way to look at this. For those people who think you, your reason you've got these draft picks is to get is to jump up and make this move for a big-time quarterback, and we've said it before, of the five top quarterbacks available in this draft, two and a half of them are going to be good, and two and a half of them are going to be busts. That's just the way it is, and that's statistically speaking. So if you don't get one, even if you get one of those top two, it could be the first one and the fifth one, or the third one and the fifth one that are the best. You don't know which ones are going to be. We got a list of six of them. I'll read it. Sam Darnold, Josh Allen, Josh Rosen, you know all these guys. Baker Mayfield, you know. Mason Rudolph from Oklahoma State, you know. And, of course, Lamar Jackson. That's six names. Three of those guys are going to stink, and three of them are going to be at least good.
Okay.
Okay. That's statistically speaking. Now, if you look at the Bills draft, they've got four picks in the top two rounds. They got 21, 22, and then 33, 35, right? Something like that. I can't remember.
It's like 53,
50. Yeah, that's right. So they got all those picks in the top rounds. Those are valuable. And here's how, and we've been talking about this going around and around. The idea is to get these players to outplay the money you are paying them. I'll say it again. You win in the NFL by getting the players on your roster to play better than the money you are paying them. It is a no-brainer when you've got all these draft picks and players on the first cycle of their career, on their rookie deals. They are going to outplay their contract. So no matter who you get in those first five picks in the first two rounds, they're going to get a big, valuable asset. Now, if you trade up and get a quarterback and he outplays his contract, that's one thing. But you know that if you sit pat and pick good players, even if they're the best players available and you get two wideouts or two linebackers or two whatever, you're going to be a better football team for having those guys on, because the money that is left over is going to be able to be buying depth for your roster. You're going to be playing better in the second half of the season because you got guys who are good enough to stand in there and maybe – start from some teams, but they're backups on your team, that kind of thing. You're going to have depth. Getting the guys to play better than their contract is what it's all about in the NFL. And it's easy when you're drafting those guys because of the structure. So those draft picks aren't just to cash in for one other player. They're valuable assets that you've got to get the most out of. And if you get a bunch of players and they're all outplaying their contract, your whole team is better exponentially like that.
Let's talk about it. Surprise offseason move that you think could improve the Bills. George in North Tonawanda. Go ahead, George. You're on the air with us. Hi.
Hi, guys. Just two quick things. Number one, I would not move up to get a quarterback. Number two, I would take a quarterback if it's within our realm. I would get the best guys we can on the team. I would pick up four extra guys that were not drafted at all as quarterback, and maybe pick up somebody that was just dropped, like a Kelly or anybody else, and go from there and build our team that way. Thank you.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, the quarterback's important, but now, and we said this at the Super Bowl and some of the teams can win without an elite quarterback. They can play pretty darn well and get deep into the playoffs. But, you know, you look at the quarterbacks that were left at the championship level. It was Tom Brady. It was Case Keenum.
Nick Foles.
It was Nick Foles and Blake Bortles,
yeah,
who had the number one defense in the NFL, and nobody could score on that team. Now, they played great in Pittsburgh. I was on the sidelines for the Pittsburgh Pittsburgh divisional round playoff, and the Jacksonville Jaguars were mad. They were angry. They were completely motivated. They played inspired football. They hit the Steelers in the mouth from the word go. They didn't take their foot off the gas. They hung 45 points on that team, and they almost lost. They almost lost. But they had Blake Bortles at quarterback. You can do it. And I'm kind of with these people who say, listen, don't put all your eggs into a quarterback that you have to jump up to get in the draft, because all of a sudden it comes with pressure. It comes with all, you know, you're a lesser roster. It comes with all that stuff. I'm kind of with, I hear the people say, stand pat, sign a couple quarterbacks. In fact, and like the caller just said, sign 10 quarterbacks that weren't drafted. Sign all the guys. Sign Canadian guys. Sign NFL guys. Sign Josh McCowns, Trevor, sign all these guys and get all the best of all of those guys for your system and go from there and do it cheap. There's got to be somebody out there who is going to be at least a sideways move from the guy you had last year in Tyrod.
Here's Bob in Cheektowaga on the line with us. Go ahead, Bob. Hi.
Hey, guys. I just want to say I know I'm with you guys, and I love having the draft choices. But last year we were kind of, even at the beginning of the season, I'm a season ticket holder, and I say, man, I would love to have Rosen. I'm sorry, but you give me Rosen, and I know we still got some good draft choices behind our other ones. If we should give up, you know, a first or something, I know it's going to cost a lot more than that. But, my God, give me Rosen, and we're going to build like we did build around Kelly. I want it so bad.
Yeah, but, you know, it's Bob, it's going to be hard to build around Rosen when you don't have any of those draft picks. And yeah, you got 18 guys that are free agents on your roster now. You're gonna have to build with a bunch of guys you don't know yet. And Rosen's no guarantee either. Am I right, Murph? I mean,
no.
We've been talking about it all.
He might be the best of the group. He's certainly one of the top two of this year's rookie class.
He's widely regarded as the best pro ready guy coming out this year, but his upside, while it's good, isn't as big as a guy like Darnold or a guy like Josh Allen, who's got all the physical tools.
Right.
So it's all, you know, it's a roll of the dice. A
couple of tweets on this issue. Dom tweets in, I agree with the last caller saying to get the number two pick. I'll go a step further saying no price is too high to get your franchise quarterback. Those high first-round defensive tackles and wide receivers like Marcel and Sammy did not get us to the playoffs. Yeah, if you're sure he's the franchise quarterback, you're pretty much right there, Dom. No price is too high. Are you sure? That's the question. Are you sure that Rosen is that guy? Are you sure that Darnold is that guy?
Because,
I'm not so sure that they are.
Because if he's not, you're done for 7 years. Your franchise is done. You're cooked. Your coaching staff won't be successful. They'll get fired. You're going to bring another head coach in there who won't have a good quarterback. He'll get fired. You're done until you get bad enough and there happens to be another guy. And if you pick another guy, ask Cleveland about their quarterback list. I mean, they've tried everybody and everything. They've done it every way possible, and they've missed at every turn. They've tried the veteran. They've tried the guy, the mentor, the guys that we're talking about. They've tried every plan that we've presented for the Bills, and they've stunk after every try. So, to me, you got it. It's better. Let me put it this way. It's better to be a team who you think is pretty good, who just needs a little better quarterback, than to be a horrible team with a quarterback who can really play that you still can't win with.
A tweet here from Chad Edwards, picking up Allen Robinson and keeping all of our draft capital to build a younger team. Do not trade up and trade away all the picks we have. Build through the draft this year and next year. Check out Seahawks draft class when they took Earl Thomas. That's what the Bills need to copy. I mean, the closer we get to the draft, and we're still a couple of months away, Steve, the more I keep thinking there's so many picks here. There's so many premium picks, those top five picks in the first three rounds. You don't want to be careless with those picks. And I don't know that there's a quarterback in this draft class who would force me to think I'm giving up three of the top five or four of the top five. I just don't see that guy.
Guy Murph,
in this year's draft.
You're going to be down at the combine.
Yeah.
I will expect a full report on every guy who takes a snap at the combine.
Every quarterback.
There's going to be 20 of them. I want to know about all. And I'm telling you what, I've got the microscope out if I'm down, and everybody will.
Yeah.
But I mean, you, particularly the Bills, particularly Cleveland, the Jets, Denver. Those guys, and not that they haven't already. They were at the Senior Bowl. They're gonna You know, they're going to look at these guys' hair follicles. They want to find out about them so much. So, but that's it. You got to find out if there's a guy that you believe is the guy. And if he is, how are you going to get him? And even then, even if you believe he is and he turns out to be, the price might be too high.
Yeah.
That's the thing that is a crusher about this whole stinking league.
Yeah. Everybody needs
Forget about finding one. Forget about finding Peyton Manning or Tom Brady, wherever it is you find them. You got to find them then.
And go get them.
You're going to give up, what, 3 ones and 2 twos? And the guy's going to be playing with Charlie Bag of Donuts, Billy Six Pack, and some other, you know. I mean, it just, you know.
Yeah.
And it's just, you got to build a team. And that's what Sean McDermott, that's the mantra he said. And I got to tell you, after the year they had and what I saw from that team and the vibe coming out of there and the way they played, particularly early in the season, I think I got to say, you know what? That's what you got to do. You've got to build a team, and you can't overpay for any position, no matter if it's a franchise. I don't care if it's a 22-year-old Peyton Manning or a 23-year-old Tom Brady or whatever. You got to have guys around them to win, and that's you know, that's just the way it is. And I think you got to you can't overpay for that spot. I think you can win without it, and I think it's been proven, particularly in the present day NFL.
Surprise offseason move that would help the Bills get better. What do you think it is? Give us a call 803-0550 and toll free from outside Buffalo 1-888-552-550. We'll put this question to our next guest, Peter King, Sports Illustrated, MMQB senior writer, host of the MMQB podcast. He's covered the NFL for 3 decades. He's going to join us next when we come back. The John Murphy Show with Steve Tasker today, presented by Napa Auto Parts, live at One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back to the show, John Murphy. Steve Tasker from our One Buffalo studio here in Orchard Park, New York. Cloudy day. The boat show going on in the other
yeah.
In the other room. Huh? Did you look at any boats?
Oh, listen. It's a little like going through a toy store. There, you'll see a lot of things that look a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But you got to have a place to put your toys. you got to have a toy box. Yeah, that boat show is awesome. Today.
Yeah, $50,000 boats.
Awesome.
Nice boats.
They look so fun.
They
man.
Look, yeah.
Oh my
gosh. The problem is it's such a short season here, right?
I know, I get it.
You're looking at them, you're thinking, okay, what do I do with them for the rest of the 8 months?
Yeah.
Hey, we're talking about quarterbacks. We're talking about the Bills' approach to this offseason, the personnel approach with Combine next week, draft a couple of months away, free agency about 3 weeks away. Joining us on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline, longtime friend of the show. He is senior writer for Sports Illustrated and MMQB. He's covered the NFL for more than 3 decades. Happy to have Peter King on the line with us. Peter, John Murphy, and Steve Tasker in Buffalo. Thanks for joining us today.
John and Steve, how are you?
We're doing well. Looking at boats and talking about quarterbacks. You know, that's what we do here in the winter. Hey, you've talked about quarterbacks. You wrote about quarterbacks in this week's Monday morning quarterback post that you put up on MMQB. And the right at the top, Peter, I think you nailed it. You said that you can't remember a year with the same level of depth at quarterback, both in free agency and in the draft. I've never seen anything like this, right?
Yeah, I mean, free agency started in 1994. And, you know, I look back at some of the years where the draft had four or five quarterbacks picked in the first round. And I tried to match them up with, you know, that year and who was a free agent starting quarterback in free agency. I mean, first of all, there's only been four or five, like, real good quality caliber starting quarterbacks ever available in free agency or ever who have moved teams. You know, Drew Brees is the one who comes to mind in 2006 going from San Diego to New Orleans, but mostly quarterbacks just don't move. And so the fact that Drew Brees could move, I doubt he will. And the fact that Kirk Cousins, who, you know, is in the top five in yardage over the last 3 years in the NFL, that he could move basically in his prime. And, yeah, he's got some zits, but the fact that he could move in his prime, I think, says that plus the class of college quarterbacks. I think what, you know, John, what really makes it a difficult year is that every one of these college quarterbacks, somebody said to me the other day, director of college scouting for an NFC team said to me, I'm glad we don't need a quarterback this year, because a lot of these guys appeal to me, but every single one of them has significant problems. And so that's what, I mean, if you're the Bills sitting at 21 and 22, and you say, man, we really like whoever it is. Let's say you really like Josh Rosen. You know, the crazy thing about it is that if you're sitting at 21 and 22 and you use the old draft trade value chart, you know, to move up into the top five, it would take more than just 21 and 22.
Yeah, right.
Like, if you added up, you know, the points, and this is not gospel by any stretch, but if you added up the points for pick number 21, 22, and the Bills, like, I think they've got the 96th pick. They got the last pick in the third round.
95th, yeah.
Yeah, if you total those three picks together, the value for those, it almost exactly equals the value for the fifth overall pick, and that's Denver. And so, hey, who knows? If Denver ends up getting Cutler in free agency, I know Elway really wants to get younger, and he wants multiple picks up high, then maybe they'd be a fit. But I think you're really not going to know until after free agency where you stand.
Yeah, Pete, I think you're right. We're talking to Peter King from Monday Morning Quarterback. And, Pete, I agree with you. And you had – it's fun, I think, for you guys. It's one of the times in the year when you kind of get to play general manager and then actually see whether it comes to true. But with this, you got to predict all – you got to predict almost all 32 teams. I've been a real proponent, and I've said all along, there's no way that the top five, maybe even the top six, are going to stay pat. I mean, those five or six teams are not going to be the ones picking. I told everybody, all our listeners, forget all the mock drafts, because trades are going to happen. Cleveland is not going to need both those top five picks, and they're going to be able to, you know, they've done that for 3 or 4 years straight, got picked for, you know, picks for players, that kind of thing. So I just don't think all those teams are going to pick those places.
The interesting thing about Cleveland is, let's just say for the sake of argument, that they pick Bradley Chubb, the pass rusher from North Carolina State, either at 1 or 4. You know, you would be hard-pressed, if you see that, to think any team in the NFL in the next 5 years is going to have better bookend pass rush than the Cleveland Browns. I mean, Chubb really kind of stands alone this year.
Right.
You never know if guys are going to make it or not. But if you're Cleveland, on the one hand, you say, you know, man, we would really love to monetize that fourth pick and get maybe three picks in, say, the top 40 or 50, which I honestly think they could do. But if you're John Dorsey also, I think you're also saying, when am I going to get a chance to take another great pass rusher? And, in other words, get the best pass rusher in the draft 2 years in a row. I mean, really, if I'm Cleveland, I am not thinking about a trade, because you know what has happened to Cleveland, at least in my opinion? Like, I mean, if you're a fan of the Browns, you know, every October 1st you say, okay, it's draft season. You're not rooting for the team anymore. You're rooting to get the best picks and the most picks. And, you know, it's just the Browns have had a ridiculous number of high draft choices. And at some point, you've got to stop saying, you've got to stop playing Monopoly with the draft choices, and you've got to pick great players. And look, I have no idea what Dorsey's going to do, but I, you know, just knowing him and knowing how much he loves the meat and potatoes players, I don't know. I look at Bradley Chubb and I say, man, how is he passing on Bradley Chubb either at 1 or 4? That's my gut feeling.
With Peter King, Sports Illustrated, MMQB senior writer, talking about the draft, talking about quarterbacks. Are we safe in assuming that the first shoe to drop, Peter, would be Kirk Cousins, maybe Cousins to Denver? You've got him going there in your Monday Morning Quarterback post this week. Is that the first thing that has to happen to get things moving, do you think, on quarterbacks around the league?
Not necessarily, John, because I think there are going to be some teams that are going to blanch and are going to just get really sour on paying $30 million for a year for Kirk Cousins. And so my gut feeling is there might be a team or two out there who says, okay, look, we're going to try to go get A.J. McCarron. and we're going to go all in on trying to get him for, say, $18 million a year. Or we're going to go try to get Case Keenum, you know, for good money. But not, obviously, Kirk Cousins' money. And so, you know, look, I think one of the things that you're going to see in this derby for Cousins is that I think in that legal tampering period, our Albert Breer wrote a really good column today and talked about how, in essence, you know, this is the most broken rule in the NFL. And the NFL should either fix this rule that prevents teams from having any conversations with agents. You know, and a lot of these things are nod and a wink conversations, but they definitely get communication going. But I do think that you know, they're going to know an awful – Kirk Cousins is going to know an awful lot about what he wants to do, you know, before we even get to the first day of free agency, which I think is March 14.
Peter King joins us from mmqb.si.com. The Bills, and you've gone through about a dozen quarterbacks in your Monday morning quarterback post. You have the Bills winding up with Josh Rosen as your guest. Tell me about that. And the Bills can't expect to see Josh Rosen down there at 21 or 22, right? They'd have to make a move up.
That's my gut feeling. You know, I don't know. This is all just, I have no idea whatsoever if Sean McDermott or Brandon Bean even likes Josh Rosen. I just don't know. But I do think there's a couple of things in play. I think, let's just say the Bills don't get a quarterback of the future in free agency. And I don't know if they will or not. Maybe they'll be in love with McCarron and go hard after him. I just don't know. But let's say they need a quarterback after the first 5 weeks of free agency. To me, I think they have to, you know, basically zone in on the guy who they really like, and they've got to do whatever it takes to get him. You don't know, you know, I don't see that the Bills in the next year or two or three are going to have a top 10 draft choice. So this is a year because you have the draft capital to move up if you need to. This is the year that you figure out which one of these guys you like, and you really try to go hard after getting him.
Yeah, Pete, I was going to say the real key to this whole thing, and we've been talking around a bunch of different things about getting whatever quarterback falls down to 21, 22. If you are forced to stay pat, you've got a lot of value, and I've always put a big premium now on the rookie classes that these teams draft. They're almost for sure those players that overperform their contract. And that means you've got more capital to spend and bolster the rest of your roster. So you get a team built that can really play. And then, as Bills fans saw last year, kind of frustrating when you feel like you're only one or two quarterback plays away from being a week in, week out winner. And that's. But I will say this: I don't have a problem paying any price for a quarterback if he plays like a rookie and overperforms that contract. I mean, if you pay a guy $30 million and he plays up to it, you're winning the Super Bowl. But if you pay a guy $10 million and he way overperforms it, you're still getting value at that spot. So how do you draw that line, and what balance do you strike, particularly in free agency, when you kind of always have to overpay for those guys?
Well, it's going to have to take two to tango. I mean, Kirk Cousins is going to have multiple people who are going to pay him, going to be willing to pay him a huge sum of money. And so I don't know where he's going to go, but my whole issue about Cousins is that, you know, I think this is going to be almost as much about him picking you as you picking him. So that's why, at least in my opinion, I don't believe that it's going to be a situation that the Bills are going to know, I think, within a few days, very early on in free agency, which one of, if any of these guys they're in play for. And if they don't love any of the quarterbacks they have, then I would not mind punting on it, really, and basically saying, okay, we're either going to sit where we are at 21 and 22 and take, a guy who is there, whether it be, I think Baker Mayfield will be gone, but whether it be, you know, Lamar Jackson or you know, whoever it is, I think that the worst thing you can do is overpay for a guy you don't love. And it's okay to overpay for a guy you love, in my opinion. But if you're trying to invent a guy and the day you get him in the building, you don't sleep well at night, I think you're doing your team a disservice.
You can't live like that.
Hey, Peter, last thing we got for you. You made a recent trip to Indianapolis where you were with a town hall meeting for the Colts. Steve's old teammate Frank Reich, the head coach down there now. Everything hinges on Luck, Andrew Luck coming back, and I don't get the sense that anybody quite knows what to expect from Andrew Luck, even Frank Reich. Is that the impression you got down there in Indy?
I think that, let's say, Chris Ballard, who probably has more knowledge than anybody in the building right now about him, is, I would call him extremely confident that Luck is going to be okay. So he passes that confidence on to Frank Reich, and Frank Reich, in turn, is confident that he's going to be playing opening day and playing well. But you know, you really don't know. You know, you don't sell insurance for that kind of stuff.
Right.
But the one thing, you guys will probably get a kick out of this, that I found is that I have had so many conversations with Reich since the Eagles got good this year and since I've been in Philadelphia a bunch. And I had him on my podcast the other day that's out this week. But we've talked so much about Buffalo. And I will never forget, right before the game against the Houston Oilers, on Saturday, Steve, you and I had a long conversation on Saturday before that game. And whereas the entire free world was saying, man, Kelly's out, Bills are in trouble, Bruce Smith's got three broken ribs, Bills are in trouble, Bennett's not playing, Bills are in trouble, you know, all this stuff happened, and you, that day, were fairly confident. I mean, you're always a sunshine guy anyway, but I'll never forget meeting with you that day, and you said, I don't mind Frank Reich playing in this game because I know that this is the kind of game that he will play well in because he's very, very thoughtful. He's deliberate. He's going to make the right calls. And no matter what happens in this game, he's not going to be panicky. And it's amazing how right those words turned out to be. He throws the interception of Bubba McDowell to start the third quarter, and you're down 35-3. And I asked him the other day, I said, Frank, I want to know, you see Bubba McDowell running for the touchdown, and you see fans at the same time getting up and walking to the exit. It's 35-3. What are you thinking? And he goes, one play at a time, one play at a time.
I know what I was thinking. I was thinking, I wonder how soon we're going to be able to play golf.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think he was so –
Yeah.
He was just so focused on the only thing you can be focused on at that point is that you owe it to everybody on your team, you owe it to everybody in the stands, that even though this is like a 99.5% chance you're going to lose and it might be really ugly, you've got to play the next play like it's 14-14 and every play matters from then on. And that's exactly how he played the game. And I think honestly, that's how he's going to coach too. I think he's going to coach one play at a time, and he's not going to be afraid of anything. And I think it turned out, even though everybody in Indianapolis, you know, wants to basically hang Josh McDaniel from whatever the state capital is there, but I mean, I think at the end of the day, they got a guy who they're going to end up really liking and training.
Yeah, I agree with you, Pete, and I make jokes about, you know, what we were thinking at halftime of that game or after he threw that pick. But by the same token, I agree completely with you because he is a quality guy, and guys like me and Jim Kelly and Thurman Thomas and everybody on that roster who was near and dear to Frank when he was a player here in Buffalo really pegged him for this exact role. A long, long time ago, a couple of decades ago, we foresaw his ability to be a head coach in the league, and finally he's going to get a chance to do it. And we're really
There are some guys, Steve, you really hope one day in their life they're going to get a chance to be a head coach. I can think of a bunch of guys who've never gotten that chance. But I really firmly believe that that this guy, you know, was meant to do this at some point. And I think he's going to do a good job.
Peter, thanks for this. Good to talk with you. Hope we get a chance to talk again. Thanks.
Hey, it sounds great. Really appreciate being on with you guys.
Thanks.
Take care.
Peter King, Sports Illustrated MMQB senior writer, host of the MMQB podcast, been around the league for a long time. He joined us on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline, Subway Eat Fresh. Back with more in a moment, the John Murphy Show from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back, John Murphy. Steve Tasker's in for Donald Jones today and tomorrow. Steve's got some thoughts. We want to hear your thoughts on the Bills and maybe a surprise move they should make. That's our Twitter poll. A couple of tweets, Steve. Stefko Bills tweets in, signing a free agent wide receiver. He or she, I'm not sure, Stefko Bills, I guess it's a she.
Yeah.
She believes that that's the move the Bills should make. And why? She, and this is the interesting part. Now I've lost it. She says, did you see this?
No quality wide receiver free agents would sign here because Tyrod was the quarterback and they were 31st in the league in throwing.
Yeah.
And she felt like no good wide receivers would consider coming to Buffalo because they knew that the passing game wasn't going to be able to make them, you know, be good for their career.
Yeah.
This would be kind of a black hole for wide receivers as long as Tyrod was the quarterback. And I see that mentality. But if you're signing a guy in free agency, there's one thing that'll make a guy sign here, and that's money. If he's good enough and you pay him, he'll sign. But I get the idea that if there's two teams in the running, which for good free agents there probably always is, something more than money could come into play. And then it's sound logic because, let's face it, they're perennially in the bottom two or three in the league with Tyrod at quarterback and throwing the football. And if you're a wide receiver, that means you.
Yeah. Here's an interesting tweet from Nate Osu 29. If the Bills sign McCown and go into the season with him and Peterman, which is kind of what Steve's push was, you're looking at 2-4 wins and a quarterback in the first round in 2019. No thanks, he says. I'd trade up this year, get it over with, sign a younger quarterback, Bridgewater, McCarron, to keep the seat warm.
I don't think you're not going to go 2-4 and 2-14 or 4-12 with Nate Peterman and Josh McCown as your quarterback battery. Because your team will be that much better all the way around him. Your front seven will be better. People won't score as many points. And Peterman's better than what you're giving him credit for. He just is. He's better than that. He's better than the 5-interception first half, the only half he played in the whole league, in the whole year. He's better than that. He's better than the snow game where he came in and was trying to mop up for Tyrod and he got a concussion as well. Two quarterbacks got a concussion in the same game. He's better than that. He's better than the last two plays of the Jacksonville game, playoff game, where he had one tipped and intercepted. He's better than all of that, and he's going to improve. I think his upside is much better than that. I don't think if you go with Nate Peterman with a Josh McCown backup that you're going to go 2-14 or 4-12. I just don't believe it. I think you'll be better at that position than you were a year ago. You're certainly going to throw the football better. Certainly you probably will turn it over more. Even if Josh McCown's the quarterback, you're going to turn it over more than you did with Tyrod. But you're going to make that many more big plays, too. And you're going to have that much more pressure taken off LeSean McCoy. You're going to have that much pressure taken off your running game. I just think it's a better plan than being 31st in the league and throwing the football.
There's a call here from Justin on a cell. Hello, Justin. Welcome. Go ahead. You're on the air with us.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Really long-time fan. I don't really know what to say now, man. You know, I'm going all different kinds of ways with this whole quarterback thing.
There's a lot of ways to go, Justin.
I'm a really, really big fan of Tyrod. I wish, you know, we would give him the benefit of the doubt. But, you know, it's like I don't really think that – I don't know. You know, it's so hard to look at it because there's so many different angles, you know. And I'm not a really big fan of Butler – or whatever his name is.
Who?
Guy out of Oklahoma State, or Oklahoma.
Baker Mayfield?
Yeah, Baker Mayfield, I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's all right.
But, you know, I'm a traditional guy. You know, I like to see, like, back in the day with Jim Kelly, you know.
And, yeah.
Well, there are not a whole lot of those around. I'll tell you what, you know what helps me?
Yeah, you're right, Justin, I get it.
You know what helps me is to put Tyrod Taylor out of the equation. Put him out of the picture. I think what they did last November to bench him, to start Nathan Peterman, didn't work out that day. To me, that makes it easy to think they're going to move on without Tyrod Taylor factoring into their long-term quarterback plan. And then start. So what do you need? You need two quarterbacks. You got Peterman coming back. You need a draft pick, and you need a free agent, right?
Yeah.
The question is how much you want to spend in free agency, and do you want to use your number of draft picks to move up and get one of the top two? Those are, to me, that's the way I think.
Yeah, and the caller, Justin, is on the phone. Thanks for calling. But it's hard to find a path through this, and there's no question. Tyrod played pretty darn well for this franchise. Absolutely. He was the quarterback that ended the playoff drought. He was the guy that that really was a steadying influence on a roster. I mean, this is a roster that was fifth in the league with snaps by players that were 30-plus years of old this last season. The Buffalo Bills were number five in the NFL at the number of snaps taken by guys that were 30 years old or more. That's a lot of old guys. But they were fourth in the league with most players who took a snap as a rookie. So they were in the top five of both the oldest team in the league with the most snaps and the youngest team in the league with most snaps. And so Tyrod was a steadying influence on a roster like that. He was one of those guys who was in the prime of his career, trying to do it well. He was frustrating to watch for a lot of Bills fans who had high hopes for this club. He was frustrating to watch because there were times when it looked like he missed guys running open. They didn't throw the football as well as they could. They missed easy and open throws, or the throws that they hit were off target and the guy couldn't turn up the field to make extra yards. It was frustrating at times to watch, and that's what led to the benching in November, like you mentioned, Murph. But that doesn't mean Tyrod is not – listen, Tyrod's going to be in the NFL this next year.
Sure he is, yeah.
And he is a guy who other teams are kind of hovering around probably saying, I wonder if he's going to be available and when it's going to happen, because they're going to snatch him up. So yeah. I think Tyrod's going to choose where he can pick to play this next year.
We're going to take a break. We're going to come back. We'll talk more about this. What's the one surprise move that you would advocate that would make the Bills better next season? Steve went through his. Give us a call. The lines are open, 803-0550. Toll free, 1-888-550-2550. It is the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts, live from One Bills Drive, and this is Buffalo Bills Radio.
Buffalo Bills Radio Network. Sports.
Got the update from One Bills Drive. Around the National Football League, little news out of Indianapolis. Adam Vinatieri has agreed to a deal with the Indianapolis Colts, a one-year contract. He's just 58 points shy of passing Morton Anderson for the top spot on the NFL's all-time scoring list. Vinatieri scored 58 points in every season of his career. He spent his entire 22-year playing career with the New England Patriots and the Indianapolis Colts. Free agent cornerback Vontae Davis says he wants to sign with a new team before the unrestricted free agent period begins March 14th. Because he was released late last season. Davis is not an unrestricted free agent. He's a streak free agent, which means he can sign with any team at any time. Josh Gordon is under control of the Cleveland Browns. He is no closer to reaching free agency. He'll enter the upcoming year as an exclusive rights free agent as opposed to a restricted free agent, which means he is not free at all, the wide receiver from Cleveland. And Eagles wide receiver Alshon Jeffrey out at least 6 months after rotator cuff surgery. Had surgery to repair a full tear in his right rotator cuff. Very likely he'll miss the preseason, and the Eagles are unsure about the regular season, but the expectations are he could be ready for week one. Buffalo Sabres on the road at Detroit tonight. The Sabres go into the game with points in five straight road games in the same season for the first time since 2012. Sam Reinhart with 17 points in his last 16 games, 7:30 faceoff in Detroit tonight. Hockey at the Olympics, the U.S. team. Team USA won the gold medal last night on a overtime goal. Jocelyn Lamoureux-Davidson with the game-winning goal in a shootout to give the Team USA the gold medal in women's ice hockey last night. And the U.S. beat Canada in the semifinals of curling last night at the Olympics, a 5-3 upset win over Canada. A remarkable comeback story for the U.S. team, which hasn't been to the podium since 2006. And that is the update from One Bills Drive. John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts. John Murphy, Steve Tasker in for Donald Jones today and tomorrow. Good to have you here, Steve. Thanks for coming in.
Yeah, it's good to be here. It's a fun day. You get to play general manager this time of year, and it's always fun because you can't be wrong.
Yeah, and everybody, you know, and as Peter King pointed out, there's so much intrigue about free agent quarterbacks, about draft picks coming out at the quarterback spot. The Bills are, you know, part of it because they need quarterback help. There's never been a year like this where the door is wide open for virtually everybody when it comes to
the problem is this. I mean, we got a tweet here from Bills Cave Dave. Bills Cave Dave says, hey, give a second-round pick for Nick Foles and sweeten it with a player if you need to. And get a starting-caliber quarterback for less than $8 million a year. Listen, it's not going to happen. You can't get Nick Foles for a second-round draft pick.
No. I mean, Polian talked about two firsts and a couple of seconds.
Two firsts and two seconds.
Might be a little bit steep, but that's they're going to get a – and plus they need
they
Nick Foles.
Need him. Carson Wentz got injured on December 13th, the weekend of December 13th. He's not going to be ready to play for training camp. He's not going to be ready for week one. He's not going to be ready for week six, I don't think. There's no way that they will rush Carson Wentz back into the lineup when they've got Nick Foles under contract for the next season. And there's just no way the Eagles are going to do that because the Eagles aren't sitting there thinking, hey, aren't we great? We just won the Lombardi Trophy. The Eagles are thinking, how are we going to do it again? And the best way we're going to do it is to keep Nick Foles and Carson, because together, Nick Foles and Carson Wentz, they're making less than Tyrod Taylor's cap hit for the Bills.
They're in a good spot now.
They're in a good spot now. Don't change it now. And it may not last long, no question about it, but they can extend Carson Wentz after this year easily. They can start that deal comes up. And Nick Foles can agree to a deal. They're not going to trade Nick Foles for a second-round draft pick. That's like giving him a bag of footballs.
Steve Tasker
I'm sorry. Pull me off the ledge.
No,
pull me off the ledge, Murph.
What's the one? This is our Twitter. It's not a poll. It's our topic today. One surprise move that would make the Bills better this offseason. Steve says get Josh McCown in here and draft a quarterback. What do you think of that? Give us a call, 803-0550.
You're obviously upset. You're coughing that one away.
I'm coughing about everything. Let's take a call from Joe in Williamsville. Joe, go ahead. You're on the air. Hi, Joe in Williamsville. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, hello.
Hi, you're on the air, Joe.
Yeah, I would think on the Bills of the draft, I think depends on free agency is what's going to happen. Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead. Turn your radio down, Joe.
Okay, hold on. No, on the Bills, on the draft, I don't see them moving up. I think it depends on what they do in free agency, actually.
Absolutely.
Back and get a quarterback in free agency, and he could compete with Peterman, and they could pick up a quarterback in the first or second round down there. But
who's the free agent quarterback?
What quarterback do you want them to get in free agency? The ones that are already out there.
Minnesota's got three.
Nah, I'm with you 100%.
One's out there.
I want to find out about those guys. I think they're going to franchise Case Keenum. I think they're going to make sure he doesn't go anywhere, and I think they're going to. I think Sam Bradford is the odd man out there. He's too injury prone. Even though he's a top flight talent and extremely good quarterback, he has never been able to stay healthy at any of the teams he's played for, and that's been his big issue. And Teddy Bridgewater, while he was intriguing in his early time at Minnesota, he had a massive knee injury that he's coming back from, and there's still a lot we don't know about him. So I think Sam Bradford is the guy you're looking for, but you're right. One or two of those guys are coming out of Minnesota. And I think the one that's going to be odd man out is going to be Sam Bradford, but he's fragile.
You can get Sam Bradford, but you're going to hold your breath, right, every time he plays. We're going to say, is he going to – first of all, you're only going to have him around for a couple of years. Hopefully you draft one too. And then you worry about, his injuries. He's had a series of injuries. I don't know if you want to – you can get him, but I wouldn't count on him to be around for very long.
Yeah, and it's not like you want him to be around for 8 or 9 or 10 years either, unless he's playing great, obviously. But he's 30 years old, so he's got, a handful of years at best if he comes in and can stay healthy, but that's the big issue. But that's what you're looking at. You're looking at a guy who may be able to do everything you want to do, but it's not going to be for very long, and you're still back to square one at finding a guy who's going to come in and be your guy for 8, 9, 10 years, get into 2 different contracts, 3 different contracts if you're lucky. Sam Bradford's not that guy.
No. You got a surprise offseason move that would improve the Bills this year? Let us know. The phone line's open. Nick in Wheatfield. Go ahead, Nick. You're on the air.
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen.
Good afternoon.
How are you? Steve, I agree with you 100% in reference to Nick Peterman, number one. Number two, I think the McCracken idea is great. But now my surprise move, and I've said it before, I know John disagrees with me. I think the Bills will give up their first round choices and Corey Glenn and up to the Giants, and hopefully Mayfield will be there. If not, and well, then the next guy down will be Allen, not Rosen. I mean, that's my opinion, guys, and that's it. And I'm going to hang up the free at the line.
Yeah. Okay.
I get it. Now, Peter King, who was just on us with the last half hour, he said, you know, he doesn't think that would be enough unless the Giants really like Cordy Glenn. They don't think 2-1. He doesn't think 2-1s and a 2 would do it. He thinks a 2-1s, a 2 and a 3 would get the number 2 pick from the Giants. That's a lot. Now, if it's 2-1s and Cordy Glenn, a starting left tackle who can play for another 7 or 8 years, the Giants may talk about that. But I'm with you. If they can get up into the top 5 and get one of those guys, I still think they're going to have to sign a free. And if Tyrod Taylor's not in the picture, they've got Nathan Peterman, this guy they draft, and that's it. They have two guys more just to go to training camp, so I don't know who that's going to be, and that's the big question. So I still think they're going to have to sign a free agent quarterback. There's going to be two new quarterbacks on this roster no matter what.
Yeah, free agent and
yeah,
a rookie.
Free agent and a rookie.
Yeah. There's a call from Tom in Fort Erie, Ontario. Go ahead, Tom. Welcome. You're on the air with us.
Hey, guys. Big fan, frequent caller. I'm a little worried more at our center position. I loved Eric Wood. He reminded me a lot of Kent Hall, who I grew up watching along with Mr. Tasker. And I'm a little worried now. Is he going to be the replacement? I mean, it's a very important position that often gets overlooked.
Yeah, I think Groy can do it. I think he's, and I'll tell you this, what I know about Groy, he's a bigger body than Eric Wood is. He is a guy who's been on the field at certain occasions, but he's also been on the team. He's entrenched. There's no question they've already penciled him in. Now, they've written it in ink. He is in ink as the starter going forward, and it's his job to lose, and he won't lose it until they have a better guy. And if they have a better guy, you may as well – Eric Wood is fine to lose, because if he's better than Groy, the guy's a legit starter, and we know all about him. But Groy is a guy that they can go with, they can win with. And you're right, Eric Wood is a big loss for them. Not only the fact that he was a good player, but now you've got Groy, who is a quality standout backup at both guards and center. Well, now you don't have any depth there. You got to find a guy who can plug in, and you know your offensive line is weaker because you got one of your leaders and your best players that is not healthy and not there. And so, you know, even if Groy is a great player, you still got to have guys to back up because those guys are going to get nicked and they're going to have time off. You just need depth. So you're right. Eric Wood is going to be a big void to fill. But as far as starting, I think they think Groy can do a good job of that. I don't think they're worried about that. But then again, he may twist his ankle on the first day of camp and then they're done.
Groy got the 7 starts a couple of seasons ago when Eric Wood broke his leg, I believe, out in Seattle. The caller, though, Tom from Fort Erie, makes one good point, and you've kind of amplified that too, Steve. It's the loss of the leadership component that you're going to lose without Eric Wood, which kind of plays into, you know, what are you doing with Kyle Williams? Do you want to lose him as well? In other words, they're going to have to find, you know, without Eric Wood, we'll see what happens with Kyle Williams. If he's not back, then you're going to have to develop, if not identify quickly, who the leaders are, you know, who the big dogs are that people follow on this team.
And
I mean, Tyrod plays that role a little bit. He might not be back.
I'll tell you what, though, Murph, that to me, I mean, that's part of what made this coaching staff the staff that broke the drought. They bring those guys out. They bring guys like that in. You know, Jordan Matthews was a great example. Micah Hyde, great example. They are good at finding good players who make other players better. They are good at building a team that is better than the sum of its parts. So leadership will emerge when they get guys who play well. When guys play well and they're the type of guys that Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott sign and they're playing well, that leadership is there.
Yeah.
That's there automatically. So I agree. You hate losing great people, great individuals, great players like Eric Wood. But, listen, that's the way the world turns. And I don't – that – to me, is a loss, and it's a loss added on to a player loss, the leadership. But that doesn't scare me going forward. I think this team's going to be fine with that, with the leadership department.
Let's hear from you, 803-0550, and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. You can do it on Twitter, at John Murphy Show. A couple of tweets on this. James is here. How much better would Tyrod's play be if they use their picks to build up the team around him? Well, maybe, but we talked about this with Donald. You know, it's been 3 years with Tyrod Taylor, and he hasn't failed, you know, remarkably. But they need to get better. You know, to have the 31st ranked passing attack for a couple of years in a row, they need to get better. I think that's probably the approach they look at. Like, we know who he is. 3 years, different receivers, a couple of different offenses. We need to get better. And I think based on the move they made last November 19th, they've demonstrated that they're ready to open things up and get a little bit better.
Well, I think if you're going to get better, you got to roll the dice a little bit, no question. Tyrod wouldn't do that. And you can see, if for those people watching on MSG, they were sixth in rush yards per game over the last regular season rankings. They were sixth in third down efficiency. They were pretty good in third down, and they were sixth in turnovers. But by the same token, there's a lot of things where they were down in the bottom five, you know, yards per game, scoring, that kind of stuff, where they struggled. And so there's no question. In the last 3 years, it's been fun to watch Tyrod Taylor. He has played well. He's been a great teammate. He's been a great leader. He's been an asset to the club and the community. There's absolutely no question about it. But at times, it has been frustrating because when you've got the casual fan in the stands seeing things that the quarterback is not seeing, when they've got guys running down the field and the quarterback won't pull the trigger because the window is about to happen, and then when it happens, it's too late. It's just too frustrating for a lot of people to stomach anymore. They're ready to move on and you know, turn the football over a little more in order to get a guy who can deliver the football and make plays that Tyrod couldn't.
Now, Butch on the line from his cell phone. Go ahead, Butch. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, this is Butch. Hello.
Hi, Butch. You're on the air with us.
First of all, I think that we ought to stay the path of filling the roster with players that we, you know, to fill the holes. And I look at the Indianapolis Colts, and it was Andrew Luck, and he was a great quarterback. But look at the beating the poor guy took. And if you don't have a team around your quarterback, it's all for naught, I believe. And I'll hang up and leave you with that thought. Thank you.
Yeah, that's a good – Butch, that's a good point. I mean, it's good – and we've said this before, too. If you got a $30 million quarterback and you got a 15-cent roster around him, yeah, your quarterback may not finish the season anyway. But if you got a $30 million quarterback and he earns it, you're winning the Super Bowl. And it's an issue. You're right. And that's a great analogy. Andrew Luck is the, you know, he was one of the, before Carson Wentz came on the scene, and now before Jared Goff played the way he did this last year, you know, Andrew Luck was the guy. Everybody said, "Wow, he's the next elite guy who's going to carry a franchise on his back." And yet, you know what? He missed an entire season in his career. Now Peyton Manning did too, but it was after his 14th season. You know, that's what you're looking at. And Butch, you bring up a great point. You may pay as much as you want for one of these top flight quarterbacks, and he may turn into a phenomenal player. But unless you can build a team, you're not going to win.
Here's a call from Pat in Rochester. Go ahead, Pat. Welcome to the show.
Hi. How you guys doing?
Doing good. Great.
I believe too that we can get more of more mileage out of the picks by getting players that we need in other positions.
Right.
Quarterback, you can pick up a McGowan. You can bring up Peterman, okay, train him or whatever, or just wait till next year or something like that. Because if you're going to go and take all your picks just for one player, okay, and it's, as Steve said, have the rest of the roster, you know, still the same or worse, you know, with all these guys either leaving or hurt or whatever, you're going to be able to, you're still going to have the same team.
Have the same problems year after year. I get it, Pat, and you're right. And I think the big thing that we're talking about, and what it boils down to, is how much do you have to pay to get the guy? Does he perform once you get him? And what do you got left over to build a team with once you do get him? And after paying what you paid to get him. That's the big if, and that's what none of us can know until Murph goes to the combine and gives us the report about what the quarterbacks look like.
I'll have a little bit better idea. Yeah, but what do they think of them? What do the Bills scouts think?
That's exactly right, and they got to get in part. and they sit down with these guys, and I'll tell you, I'll give you a quick story. Bill Kohler was the defensive line coach here back when in 2005 when Kyle Williams was drafted.
Mm-hmm.
Or I think it was 2005. Was it 2005? Yeah, it was, wasn't it?
Kyle was.
And Eric Flowers was the first-round pick, and Kyle Williams was the fifth-round pick. And Bill Kohler said, you know, he got on the field, and he goes, I could tell in 20 minutes who was going to be the guy who could play. Why didn't you know that before you drafted those guys? Kyle Williams turned into this perennial all-pro pillar of a franchise as a fifth-round pick, and Bill Kohler – and maybe he was blowing smoke, you know. I don't think so. But how do you not find that out before you spend a first-round pick on a guy that can't play like Eric Flowers turned out to be, a guy who couldn't play? That's a crusher.
Yeah.
Those are the kind of things that are frustrating. Those are the kind of things that keep the Cleveland Browns, and keeps them down and makes them go 0-16. That's why – you know, you get players who you're looking at them and you can't believe you're paying them the kind of money you're paying them because you're not getting any product. Why can't, you know, that's the holy grail of the NFL. Hey, you go to these combines and you watch these guys and everybody's looking at the same guys and somebody gets it right and somebody completely misses. The Cleveland Browns completely missed on Deshaun Watson and Carson Wentz. Both of them completely whiffed, passed them up. How does that happen?
It just happens. It's happened here.
It happens all the time. Yeah, it's the frustrating. I can't believe
crazy.
It drives you crazy. That's, you know, these, you know, it's worse than a horse race. I mean, because these guys got personalities and lives and hangers-on and entourages and agents and moms and dads and brothers, and some of them don't have any of that.
Right.
You know, so it's how are we going to know? How do you know? You got to find out. What are you going to pay for the guy? Did you get it right? And what do you got left to pay everybody else
right,
when you're done?
Right. It's tough. Steve Tasker's with us till 3 today. Coming up at 2, excuse me, Bill Barnwell from ESPN. Coming up next, we're going to take a break from the quarterback talk for a minute and assess what the Bills have on the roster at running back and fullback and what might be out there to get better. That's coming up next. The John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts. Live today at One Bills Drive, this is Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back to One Bills Drive. John Murphy, Steve Tasker in our One Buffalo studio on the other side of the wall. The boat show is underway. There's some incredible boats in there, Steve.
I love those things. Expensive. I know. Fun to look at them.
Yeah. What do you do with them, though? You know,
nothing, because I get seasick. I get seasick in the bathtub. I'm so bad.
We'll keep you away from the boat show.
Yeah.
Hey, we're talking about a variety of things. Steve had some thoughts on a surprise move the Bills can make to get better this offseason. We'll take your phone calls on that. Here's a call from Chris calling from Lancaster. Go ahead, Chris. Welcome. You're on the air with us.
Good afternoon, guys. I just had a question. Meaning that they have the 22nd, 23rd pick. Everybody's talking about moving up, you know, getting rid of them for a quarterback. You know, with all the holes that we have on this team, I think it makes sense to draft what you can get at the positions you need, go out, get a free agent who could put the ball where it needs to be placed, who's a halfway decent quarterback, and, you know, maybe make a trade. How about maybe getting rid of McCoy and our offensive tackle and our quarterback and maybe moving up in the draft that way, either this year or the following year? Hmm. I just want to sit back and hear your thoughts on that.
Getting rid of McCoy, trading McCoy, and the quarterback, I assume you meant Tyrod Taylor, and getting another first-rounder. I don't know. LeSean McCoy in a trade is not going to get a first rounder on his own at this point, right? No.
Yeah, that's.
He's not.
It
would take more
than
him.
He's the best offensive player on your team for the past 3 years.
Right. He's not interested in.
Certainly, you know, a 30-year-old running back. I get that. There's a couple of things. You risk a lot. If the deal doesn't happen, LeSean might not be a happy camper that you tried to trade him. If you do, and I get it too, and we were going to talk about running backs here in a minute, and I think it's a good segue because Saquon Barkley is the elite talent coming out in the draft this year. He's the only guy that you can – well, now Chubb is too, the defensive end. But Saquon Barkley is a running back who is going to be a starting running back from day one of his NFL career. But you look at the running backs throughout the league, and Peter King got into this in a big way where – listen, all these running backs that have made splash, had splash years as young guys, they were all third-round, fifth-round pick. Alvin Kamara from the Saints was a fifth-round pick this year. So you can get a quality contributing running back anywhere in the draft. So I get the fact that you could probably maybe make up for the loss of LeSean McCoy if you traded him. But if you put that out there, I think that's a big risk.
Yeah, I'm not interested in trading him. I think he is your number one, your best player and your number one offensive weapon. And they hope to get better throwing the football, but I don't know until you see that you can count on that. Every day over the last couple of weeks, we've done this, we've been diving into position groups, talking about who the Bills have, what they need. And let's do that today on the running backs. Tomorrow we'll do quarterback, Steve, so get ready for that. What we have, what we need on the roster. Let's talk about that when it comes to running backs. Everybody in the offensive backfield. Under contract for the Bills today at the running back spot, they have, of course, Shady, LeSean McCoy, who's going to count about $8.95 million under the salary cap this year, pretty similar to where he was last year. If he's got 2 years left on his contract, McCoy, this year and next, both around $9 million per year. One of the top paid running backs in the league, obviously. But he's merited that. He's earned that with his play. Who else is under contract when it comes to running backs? Marcus Murphy, who had some moments last year. Aaron Green, who didn't get many reps at all. He's on a reserve future contract. And the fullback, Pat DeMarco, is back after 1 year with the Bills. That's who is under contract for the Buffalo Bills. They've got a couple of free agents from last year, Travaris Cadet, who came up with the injury in the Christmas Eve game at New England. Tywan Jones, who got some work on special teams. And Mike Tolbert, signed last year as a fullback, finishing off his one-year deal. Of that group, I think Cadet injury makes him, watching. But of that group, I don't know that there's anybody there, if I were the Bills, that I would really, bend over backwards to bring back here, Steve. Your thoughts?
No, I mean, Travaris Cadet played well for him, no question about it. But it's just what we were just saying. I think you can, you look at the list, the top free agent list, it's Le'Veon Bell starts it out. It's Carlos Hyde. Doug Martin was just released by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, a two-time Pro Bowl running back in the NFC. Isaiah Crowell of the Browns. Deion Lewis of the Patriots. Jerick McKinnon of the Vikings. LeGarrette Blount is going to be a free agent again with the Eagles. Frank Gore, I mean, he still wants to play. Darren Sproles with the Eagles, and Sproles was a guy who was injured this year, but he's a role player. And then Jamal Charles, who had a great start to his career with the Kansas City Chiefs and then was injured, went to the Denver Broncos, and for me, he wasn't the same player. He hasn't been the same player. So that, to me, Le'Veon Bell is the guy on that list that you would love to grab.
But he's not going anywhere.
I don't think the Steelers are going to let him out unless they have the same philosophy that I do, and you can get a pretty good running back and take a couple of them in the draft and make up for his production with two different guys, cheaper. So,
Doug Martin interests me. As you said, just released, he's out there now as a free agent. They were paying him pretty well down there in Tampa for the last couple of years, really. It hasn't produced, but as a backup, as a changeup, as a guy who could back up Shady McCoy at the right price, I mean, he's going to have to take a pay cut. He was $5.7 million last year, $7.7 million the year before. Doesn't merit that, but, at a decent price, I could see how, a Doug Martin coming off the Bucks, I think he might bring the Bills something when it comes to backup running back.
He's a quality guy, too. I mean, he was a guy that, thanked the organization when he was released,
yeah.
And I know that he was one of their leader guys. It's a quality person. So he would fit the mold that this team is looking to sign, kind of those quality leadership-type guys. You have to see, what's he got left in the tank? Because to me, it was a financial move. It wasn't a production move.
Yeah. There's nobody else really on that list of free agent running backs that gets me excited. There's going to be running backs coming out of the draft, any one of whom could be a backup to – basically what we're talking about is finding a backup for LeSean McCoy. And we know that McCoy, he's not going to be here forever, but he's been pretty solid for the last couple of years as far as not missing time. And I would think the Bills are on alert that they might have to replace him someday. But I wouldn't go crazy when it comes to finding a backup for Shady. Really wouldn't.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I wouldn't. Now, the one caller said, hey, why not trade him? And listen, LeSean is he's a great running back. And he's 30. I get it. I mean, you start to think, oh, gosh, you start to wring your hands and think, man, I don't know how long he's going to last. Listen, he was elite last year. He was the best player on their team. He was the best player on a playoff team last year. He played extremely well. He does everything. He blocks in pass protection. He runs great pass routes. He's got great hands. He's elusive inside the tackles. He's got the speed to get to the corner. He runs great routes. You can split him out. You can get a matchup outside. There's nothing he doesn't do and doesn't do very well. And some things he does better than almost anybody in the NFL. So I get why a lot of teams might like him. But I don't think he's the kind of guy that gets kicked to the curb. Although there was a story coming out, I think a couple of months ago, that wasn't Philadelphia interested in bringing him back. There was an article written out. They wanted to trade back for him. So maybe now I know I'm – oh, my gosh, I shouldn't have said that because now everybody's going to say trade LeSean for Nick Foles.
And you didn't say
like,
that.
I didn't say that. And I mean, it won't work. But, yeah, he's a player with some value. I think he's too valuable to get rid of. I think he's too valuable to get to lose. I think he's your best player. Yep. This isn't hockey. You know, you don't get rid of that guy.
I don't think so.
Not for any price. Maybe not any price. But
I think the Bills, I mean, to me, would be looking for a backup. You know, they lost Mike Gillisley, who didn't really have a great year with New England. New England paid him close to $2 million per year last year. And he didn't even play. Could not get on the field towards the end of the season. Fullback, DeMarco. $1.8 million cap hit last year. He goes up to about a $2 million cap hit this year, Patrick DeMarco. He's still got 2 years left. I assume that Brian Daboll is going to want to keep a fullback in this Buffalo offense. We'll see. I think DeMarco is good for this year, but down the road they might have to adjust that somewhere, right? I mean,
$2 million over the next couple of years,
2.1, 2.3 after this year.
Draft a young kid and pay him the rookie minimum and let him learn his way. And maybe they do that this year in the late rounds or sign one of street free agent. I mean, this is a guy who's not going to carry the football. He's going to be a lead blocker, and he's going to be maybe a pass catcher once in a while, and that's a fullback in the NFL. He's going to have two rushes a year and four pass receptions a year, and that's it. And then the rest of the time he's going to be banging heads.
Which is fine.
He can't – yeah, but for a guy, you could either pay $400,000 for that or you could pay $2.3 million, and it's smart to pay the $400,000.
Two rushing, you're right, Steve. Two rushes for minus 2 yards for Pat DeMarco this year. Seven catches for 28 yards.
And that's not just DeMarco. That's fullbacks across the league.
Right.
They
right.
use them the same way. They're a lead blocker in short yardage, or in certain situations, they'll come in for a pass protection. And that's what he does. They're a physical force.
Junior on the line from Orchard Park has some thoughts on Bills running back. Junior, go ahead. You're on the air.
I think it's very important that we draft another running back because one, of course, I know McCoy's still got his legs and he's still good out there, but a running back position can go down at any time and you need to have somebody that's going to be able to step up and do the job. And a lot of the good teams that are out there in the playoffs, they have a good 1-2 punch with two running backs out there, and I would draft one. I agree with the salary cap, how we're in the middle of the pack with being 16th overall in the salary cap. Drafting one would be a lot cheaper for us, so I would definitely pick up another running back.
I would, too. I wouldn't get it in the first three rounds, though.
Yeah, I mean, I get that, but you can also sign one, you know, as a street free agent. You can sign one as a rookie free agent. I don't know that I would draft – if the guy's out there and you think he's got a third-round grade and it's the fifth or sixth round, yeah, I could see that, but – I don't think that you use a draft pick like that unless it's a late round pick, because those guys notoriously overperform. Just like we've been talking about, the guys who have, you know, who have really killed it in the league for a couple of years have all been third to fifth to sixth round draft picks. And so, you know, I wouldn't mind drafting one there if they're the absolute best player available by a long shot. Other than that, I would draft, you know, a player of need.
All right, talking about running backs, we'll continue to talk about what the Bills might be able to do to surprise you. What can they do in free agency as opposed to the draft? We'll take your phone calls on that. We'll discuss more of that when we return. Lines are open, 803-0550, and toll-free from outside Buffalo, 1-888-4-BILLS. 550-2550. The John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts. We are live at One Bills Drive, and this is Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
We're coming to you live from One Bills Drive. John Murphy, Steve Tasker's in for Donald Jones today and tomorrow. Tomorrow's show is going to be pretty good. Jeff Foster, who runs the NFL Scouting Combine, will join us tomorrow. And Greg Cosell back with us. You talked with Greg out in at the Super Bowl a couple weeks ago, right? 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, yeah. He came on with us. Yeah,
he's pretty intense.
Yeah, he's got some good information. I think he knows – he seems to know – have strong beliefs about what he's talking about.
Yeah.
And that's really – that's all it is, man. If you watch the film and do the homework and you make evaluations about what you see – you know, you're a scout.
And now Greg has had an opportunity to look at some of these quarterbacks, some of the other prospects in the draft. As we approach the Combine next week, we'll be there. Donald Jones and I will be there next Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, the NFL Scouting Combine in Indianapolis. Phone lines open, 803-0550, the number. From outside Buffalo, it's a toll-free call at 1-888-550-2550. Perhaps you would like to weigh in on our Twitter question today. Not really a poll. We didn't put it in the form of a question. But want you to think a little bit out of the box here. What's one surprise move that the Buffalo Bills could make this offseason as they approach the combine? Give us a call. Let us know what you think. 803-0550. Toll free 1-888-550-2550. Or you can do it on Twitter at John Murphy Show. Let us know what you think. 803-0550 and toll free 1-888-550-2550. Tweet here from VMRO716. We have yet to prove in 20 years we can develop a quarterback. So I don't care if you draft the next Tom Brady. You have to be able to develop that player. One in like 100 quarterbacks come day one ready. The offensive coordinator makes the adjustments. Right. There's some truth to that.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if there's all true.
Right,
there's
some
truth to that.
There is. And a lot of people are saying, you know, about what I said about Nate Peterman, go give the guy a real chance. Give him a couple of games to start. Let him put the offense in. And you know, I'm saying he's better than the 5-interception performance that he put up in the first half of the L.A. game this last year. And there's, you know, what if he's worse? You know, he's not. I don't think so. I don't think even the person who wrote the tweet believes he's that bad. I think there's no question there's room for improvement. Even if you take the picks out of it, he made some great throws, makes some nice reads. He does a lot of things. And some of it is a reaction to what we saw from Tyrod year after year, game after game after game. Peterman was doing some different things, some things Tyrod didn't do, which made him really intriguing. And maybe I'm getting caught up in that. But by the same token, Peterman plays like a pocket passer in the NFL. And I think it's easier to build an offense and a team around the way the NFL is structured with a guy like that than it is Tyrod. But and particularly if they're going to move on from Tyrod, I get it. But you know, I just think you got to give the guy a look. I think he made the roster last year. He's shown some things in practice, and certainly he stunk when he was in there against the L.A. Chargers. but I think, listen, it's his first look, and I think he's got a lot more to show, and I don't think they should be done with him. Now, he may not be the guy, no question about it, but I still think you got to find out about him. Plus, if you're going to get another guy, find out about that guy too. Draft one and find out about him. Maybe that guy coming in is better than Peterman. Put him in and let whoever this veteran backup is I'm talking about mentor him. So we'll see. But that's my thing. But yeah, he could stink. He may not be the guy, but you got to find out.
We talked about running backs a minute ago. A couple of calls on this. Rick calling from Clarence. Go ahead, Rick. You're on the air.
My question is, let's talk about maybe a trade with McCoy if Philly's interested. And what are your thoughts on maybe a trade between McCoy and Nick Foles, an established quarterback? If there's any interest at all and McCoy going back there, maybe we can swing a trade that way and get a high-caliber quarterback in Buffalo.
Oh, gosh, I made the mental mistake bringing that article up that was from a couple of months ago.
I don't see it happening, to be honest.
I get you. Rick, I get it. If that was possible, if there was a possible way that the Bills could get Nick Foles into Buffalo on the cheap just trade for him, and depending on what the price would be, I think you got to make that move. It's not going to happen. The Bills are not going to jump up high enough to get Nick Foles.
And I don't think the Philadelphia Eagles are even interested in listening to offers about what they could get for Nick Foles. I think if it does, and it's like Bill Polian said, and I think he got crushed for saying it was two ones and two twos. He was saying that because that's how unlikely it is that the Philadelphia Eagles are even thinking about trading Nick Foles. So no matter how bad Philly wants LeSean McCoy back, and there was an article out earlier in the year about how they made an attempt to get LeSean back after Chip Kelly traded him to the Bills. No matter how bad they want him back, Nick Foles, they want Nick Foles worse than they want LeSean McCoy. Absolutely no question about it. So I get it. If you can get Nick Foles, get him, but you're not going to get him.
Here's Scott calling from Rochester. Scott, go ahead.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Great.
Good.
I just wanted to get some insight there on the running back position with Shady. Trading him, I don't really think it's the best idea. I'm thinking more along the lines of bringing someone in off free agency or maybe in the draft and then kind of putting them back there with Shady. I think it would be more valuable to have someone learn from Shady why he's there still, so then, you know, they're more prepared, you know, for taking over the position, and at the same time keeping the money going towards, you know, players that we really need in certain positions. I just feel like that would be, you know, more fulfilling to the team as a whole.
Yeah, I think it's a better move. You got to keep Shady if you can. I mean, the guy's he's not going anywhere. And I think the fact that you're talking about bringing a young guy in, it's not like a running back needs to be mentored on, you know, techniques or whatever, because that to me is a really creative position. Certainly you got to learn the offense. You got to step to the right guy and pass pro and all that. But if you're bringing the guy in, he's already got a skill set where he can catch it, run it, and do all of that. I think thinking LeSean McCoy is going to teach the guy how to play, no, he may teach the guy an attitude, which would help, an attitude about being great and about staying in shape and about your off season is your in season and about all of that stuff, no question about it. But I don't think – we're talking about a young – I don't know how much you want to invest into a draft pick that's going to back up and spell Shady McCoy when Shady's going to – you want Shady to carry the ball 20 to 25 times a game, and you want his backup to carry it like 5 to 8 times a game so that you run the football about 30 times a game, and LeSean takes at least 2/3, if not 75% of all those carries. That's what you're talking about. And so I wouldn't waste a pick on a draft pick who's going to carry the ball 4 or 5 times a game when there are dozens of guys on the street and a bunch in free agency who could do that easily. So to me, LeSean is an elite talent. He's a singular type of player. You maximize him. You give him a little bit of help, like with guys like they did this year with Travaris Cadet. Nobody knew who Travaris Cadet was, and everybody was wringing their hands when Gillis Lee went to New England, and all of a sudden we find guys, hey, we had some pretty good players behind LeSean this year, and I don't think they're that hard to find.
We're going
to
take a break. We're going to be back. Bill Barnwell from ESPN.com is going to join us when we return. It is the John Murphy Show presented by Napa Auto Parts. We're coming to you live from One Bills Drive, and this is Buffalo Bills Radio.
Radio Network Sports Update.
The update comes from One Bills Drive, where it is quiet today. The Combine next week will be there with live coverage. Our show moving to the NFL Scouting Combine in Indianapolis. Donald Jones and myself there next Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, 12 noon to 3 p.m. In Indianapolis today, word that Adam Vinatieri is returning for his 23rd NFL season. Vinatieri has agreed to terms on a one-year contract. He is 45 years old. He needs 58 points to pass Morton Anderson for the top spot on the NFL's all-time scoring list. Vontae Davis, former Colts cornerback, says he wants to sign with a new team before free agency begins March 14th. He was released during the season last year, so he is not considered an unrestricted free agent, a street free agent, which means Vontae Davis can sign with any club he wants right now. Cleveland Browns still have control over wide receiver Josh Gordon. He is no closer to reaching free agency. He goes into the league year as an exclusive rights free agent as opposed to a restricted free agent because of his contractual issues in Cleveland. And the Philadelphia Eagles are going to be without wide receiver Alshon Jeffrey for at least 6 months. He had rotator cuff surgery, a full tear in his right rotator cuff that was repaired yesterday. Sources say it's likely Jeffrey will miss the preseason. They're unsure about the regular season, but they hope that he is ready for week one. Buffalo Sabres move on to play in Detroit tomorrow night, playing the Red Wings at Little Caesars Arena, the first of two consecutive road games. Face off 7:30 tomorrow night. Sabres go into the game with points in five straight road games in the same season for the first time since they went 4-0-1 6 years ago. Hockey last night at the Olympics, the Team USA women's team defeated Canada by a 3-2 score in overtime on a goal by Jocelyn Lamoureux-Davidson. They pulled the goalie out of the crease and scored the overtime game winner. A 3-2 win for Team USA. They win the gold. And USA's curling team, the men's curling team, will play for a gold medal against Sweden after a 5-3 upset over Canada yesterday. That is the update from One Bills Drive. John Murphy and Steve Tasker coming to you from our One Buffalo studio. Joining us on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline, a guy who's been a good friend of the show over the years, ESPN staff writer, covers the NFL, host of the Bill Barnwell Show. Happy to have Bill Barnwell on the line with us. Bill, it's John Murphy and Steve Tasker here in Buffalo. Thanks for joining us today. How are you?
Hey, John. Hey, Steve. Always a pleasure to hop on the show.
It's great to have you here. You've done a pretty comprehensive review of the entire league and dealing with off-season moves to improve all 16 NFL teams. Five off-season moves. So you got kind of deep into it. Five moves. I mean, teams will make those moves, but that's pretty deep analysis, Bill. That'd be a lot of work for you.
I mean, you know, it's interesting because I think you learn some things, or at least I learned some things about the offseason, because you kind of, you know, once you're in the season, you're focusing on what's happening in the games. You're trying to figure out who's going to win, or in my case, who's not going to win. And then, you know, once you get to the offseason, the whole situation changes. You're looking at contracts. You're looking at moves that can make, moves that might be a response to certain moves, and a lot of fascinating situations developing for what could be a really, really busy couple months for the NFL.
Bill, I think one of the most difficult things must be to devise a way or some sort of divining rod that tells you, listen, some of the, and you're right, some of the most difficult moves to anticipate for guys like us in the media are the ones that involve guys who are really good players but who have enormous contracts and the team just has to get out from under them. You know, like the Bills traded Marcel Darius, moves like that, the Jets letting go their nose tackle. It's just one thing after another with some of these teams, and Ndamukong Suh looks to be on thin ice in Miami. You've heard rumblings about his contract being counterproductive. So, you know, that must be the most difficult thing to anticipate, or at least even to put your thumb on.
Yeah, it really is, because, you know, certain teams, they may have an appetite for dealing with a contract for a year. With the Bills, they did trade Marcel Darius, but they didn't make a move with Cordy Glenn when there were offers, I believe, for him during the trade deadline when he was really out of favor. And they could, I wrote about him, he could be in play this offseason as a possible trade, but it really depends. I think it's just the salary cap is going up sufficiently that teams really can afford a lot more in terms of contracts than they have over the past few years. A lot of the time it comes down to, well, it's not just that we had this guy for $15 million and we think he's not worth $15 million, but can we use that $15 million more wisely? And I think we'll have to see what happens in this market, but I think there'll be a lot of teams who think maybe it's better for us to go out and get three or four players and have more depth than it is to necessarily go out and spend $15 million on one premium player.
Bill Barnwell, our guest, ESPN staff writer, who's written a post about five moves for every team in the AFC, including five moves he thinks the Bills should pursue. And you mentioned Cordy Glenn. You think the Bills should explore the trade market for Cordy Glenn in search of what, a draft pick, Bill? Is that what you think?
You would figure a draft pick would make the most sense, although obviously they're very well stocked with draft picks for this upcoming draft. It depends on what you can get for him. I do think that obviously they're a fan of Deion Dawkins, rookie second-round pick, with a very solid rookie campaign. But all around the league, teams are desperate for tackles who are effective pass protectors. It really has become a major problem in the NFL. So for the Bills, I don't think you make a trade just to dump his salary. I just don't think that makes a lot of sense. I think you're looking at, you know, you kind of want to hold on for a bit. Maybe you see what happens in the draft. Maybe you see what happens in free agency. You see which teams strike out as they go to add a tackle. But the Bengals, the Bucks, the Cardinals, the Giants, Texans, even the Patriots could be in line to add a tackle this offseason. And if they don't get the guy they want, it could very well be a situation where the Bills can get a second-round pick, perhaps, or even a high third-round pick for next year for Cordy Glenn in April or May. So it may not be a thing that happens overnight, but I do think they could at least
think about trading Cordy Glenn if they can get the right offer.
Yeah, the first move you thought they should make, Bill Barnwell at ESPN, the first move you thought the Bills would make of the five that you noted was about Vontae Davis. Now, the free agent corner visited Buffalo this last week and left without a contract, still is without a contract around the league. Do you think well, what do you think about that? I mean, how important would it be, or would it be just Vontae Davis or any some such cornerback who's a quality guy who could give you a few starts? I mean, how important is it to get a guy the caliber of Vontae Davis when they still may have a guy like E.J. Gaines being able to sign?
Yeah, I think it's going to come down to what the price range is going to be. Obviously, you have one spot locked down with Tre'Davious White, who, of course, is a rookie. He's going to be around for a few years, was very, very impressive during his debut campaign. You've already spent a lot at safety with a short employer, Micah Hyde. You've already invested a fair amount when it comes to safety. So you're looking at really adding one more guy, and I think it comes down to the price range. You don't want to go out and spend top dollar for another cornerback, given how much you've already invested in your secondary. But if Davis is at the right price, I think he's a very solid move. If E.J. Gaines is available, and he's an unrestricted free agent, and he had a good year but was hurt for part of the season. If you have to come back and the price is reasonable, I think you're bringing E.J. Gaines back. But I think you want to invest in a veteran cornerback who still has some upside, who still possibly be a number one, number two caliber cornerback in the NFL, but you don't necessarily want to pay the going rate for example, a Stephon Gilmore, where you're paying $12, $13 million a year.
Bill Barnwell on the line with us from ESPN.com. He's got five offseason moves for each team in the AFC up on ESPN.com. Number two move for the Bills, pretty simple for you. Move on from Tyrod Taylor. There are some here who think that might be a mistake. Give us your reasonings why you think it's time to move on, Bill.
Well, I'm one who thinks it's a mistake, to be honest with you.
Really?
But, I don't think he's necessarily the best quarterback in football. But in the absence of an obvious solution, which I don't think is currently on the Bills roster, I wouldn't be as aggressive as Buffalo seems to be about moving on from Tyrod Taylor. I would maybe try and build an offense around his strengths as opposed to some of his weaknesses. But I do think at this point the Bills have kind of made up their mind. When they benched him in midseason, I think the writing was on the wall. I don't think he played well enough in that playoff game for the Bills to sit there and bring him back. So I do think they are going to cut him. And I think it makes sense to move on from him quickly. I don't think it makes sense to hold on to him and wait and see what happens. I don't think that's fair to him as a player. I don't think it's fair to the franchise because I think they need to be more aggressive about acquiring a quarterback who fits the kind of offense they want to run.
We're talking with Bill Barnwell, ESPN staff writer, and also a host of the Bill Barnwell Show. Now, one of the moves also, and most fans here in Buffalo are into this kind of frame of mind, where the one thing and the one aspect of the team besides the quarterback spot that need to be upgraded from a year ago is their pass rush and their defensive front. Mm-hmm. And you talk about signing Preston Brown and Kyle Williams back. Talk a little bit about what you think the path might be to strengthening a front seven that really struggled to get any pressure on the passer all year.
Yeah, I think you have to hope that Shaq Lawson stays healthy. I mean, of course, it's been an injury-riddled first couple seasons for him, and he's not necessarily going to be a dominant pass rusher on his own, but just having him in the rotation, having an athlete like him on one side of the field where he's going to be a solid run defender, and then on top of that, hopefully contribute some as a pass rusher is going to help. Of course, you'd figure Jerry Hughes was a down year for him, but he's still only 29, someone who was effective in recent years. Even if the sack numbers don't show it, I think he is a more effective pass rusher than those numbers seem to indicate. So I think maybe this is the last year you're with Jerry Hughes. Maybe you're thinking about drafting a pass rusher for the future to supplement Jerry Hughes. But I do think that's a place where they go in the draft, where they have, those four first and second round picks. I do think it's a place where, even though I think they're going to grab a quarterback and they may use some of those picks to trade up for a quarterback, I do think their number two priority in the draft is going to be adding a pass rusher to sort of rotate in with Lawson and Jerry Hughes. And we saw with the Eagles. I mean, you can never have too many pass rushers and too many guys to play up front. So I do think that's a place they address in the draft this offseason.
And, Bill, one of the moves you think the Bills should make, a couple of them actually, they should bring back a couple of key defensive guys, Preston Brown and Kyle Williams. Tell us about that, what your thinking is there.
Yeah, I mean, Kyle Williams, obviously, there's not a ton at defensive tackle for the Bills right now after trading Darius. I think it's more down to what Kyle Williams wants to do. There's maybe a point where he says, you know what, we just made the playoffs. I can leave on a high note, and I don't want to take the beating and the bruising that comes with playing in the NFL, and I think you have to respect him if he makes that decision. But if he wants to come back, I think it makes sense for him to reunite with Buffalo. Can't really imagine him going anywhere else at this point of his career. And then Preston Brown, I mean, what can you ask of the guy? I mean, middle linebackers don't get paid a ton in the NFL these days, but in terms of what you might hope for, he's a legitimate every-down linebacker, someone who is you know, capable in coverage, but a very, very solid run defender. I think someone who, you know, you want to reward the players who have developed in your system and played well, and he's gone through different schemes. He's really emerged as a very useful player and a leader on that defense. So I do think he's someone who, if the price is right, you know, again, you don't want to pay $10 million a year for Preston Brown, but assuming that the price range is reasonable, I think you want to bring him back and sort of have that stability on defense that maybe you haven't had in years past.
Yeah, one of the things I want to ask you, too, and if I can throw you a curve if I could, I mean, we're neck deep in the teams that may be part of sculpting the landscape of how the draft and how free agency goes because they have a lot of money to spend and they have a lot of needs. Talking about the New York Jets here in the AFC East with the Buffalo Bills. They've got a new offensive coordinator. The offensive line coach is gone. The quarterback coach is now the new offensive coordinator. They've got a ton of money to spend. Everybody says they're the guys that are going to go after Kirk Cousins. They're going to pay him a ton of money, and they're going to get into a bidding war with Denver or somebody else. Tell us a little bit about where you see the Jets taking their next step and what's important for them, the team in the Bills division.
Yeah, do you think it's going to be Kirk Cousins or not bust, but I think Kirk Cousins, and then you kind of figure out everything else after that. Defense is still very solid. I think they're going to cut Muhammad Wilkerson, which will clear up $17 million in cap space. That'll push them over $100 million, which is kind of staggering to think about.
Wow.
And then, you know, I do think they're going to be in the Kirk Cousins sweepstakes. They may not get him. I think Denver's going to have a case. I think that Jacksonville, Minnesota could also be in the running. A lot of teams are going to be interested in Kirk Cousins. You don't get an opportunity to sign a franchise quarterback in his prime in free agency very frequently. The last guy would have really have been Drew Brees, which is, you know, feels like decades ago at this point, but it was, I think, 12 years ago in New Orleans. So they're certainly going to have the money. I think the question is, can they get Kirk Cousins? And if they don't, then what do they do? Do they go after Sam Bradford? Are they you know, going to be competing for another veteran quarterback? Or are they going to draft a guy with a sixth overall pick? Maybe they'll bring back Josh McCown and take a guy sixth and hope to develop a quarterback of the future that way. But I think for a lot of teams, and we're going to see this during the free agency period, I think a lot of teams are going to be waiting to see what happens with Kirk Cousins and then acting accordingly once he makes his decision.
Bill, I have no doubt that Cousins is the, you know, the best available free agent quarterback this year. But how good is he? How much better would he make the New York Jets or any of these teams?
That's the $100 million question, I suppose. I mean, I guess it depends on what you think of Cousins, which I think I was someone who was very down on Kirk Cousins early in his career. He turned the ball over at an almost historical rate, and I was wrong. He drastically improved. When Sean McVay was there, once Jake Gruden came in, they really improved his decision-making, his comfort in the pocket. He made much smarter choices with the football, didn't turn the ball over anywhere near as frequently, and so he's improved over the course of his career pretty dramatically. So I think that's probably a positive sign because he's not someone who came into the league and was just a fully formed guy and never really got better. He's someone who's improved dramatically his on-field value and performance over the course of his career in Washington. So, you know, is he going to be that much better than Case Keenum was in Minnesota last year? No, probably not. But he's someone who has a very high floor, someone who you don't have to worry about getting injured. He's been very healthy over the course of his career, someone who's been very consistent since that sort of leap a couple of years ago. And I think someone who, you know, even if you're not getting a top three, top four, top five quarterback, even if you're getting the 12th best quarterback in football, you're not giving up two first-round picks for him. You're not having to develop him and sit around for a couple of years at the bottom of the draft waiting to find that guy. I mean, you can plug him in and know he's going to be probably an above-average quarterback, which there's a lot of value because if you're the Browns and you sign Kirk Cousins, well, you can use that first overall pick on Saquon Barkley or Bradley Chubb or any of the other guys who can help your roster in other spots of the team. So he has value not just in what he can do but also then what he allows you to do elsewhere.
Bill Barnwell from ESPN.com on the line with us. He's got five moves that each team in the AFC should make. The Dolphins, number one move, you think. Maybe they already made it with Jarvis Landry. People don't know what to make of that, like what the Dolphins' long-range plan is there. Are they really ready to pay $60 million a year to Jarvis Landry?
I have to admit, John, I don't know if the Dolphins know what their long-term plan is when it comes to Jarvis Landry, because I think they spent this offseason, or this season, I should say, sort of publicly saying, at least, you know, through the media, hey, we're not going to sign Jarvis Landry. We're not going to make that move. We signed Kenny Stills for $8 million a year. We have Devontae Parker, our first-round pick from a couple of years ago, who's a perennial breakout candidate, and I think we're going to, you know, enjoy Jarvis Landry when he's here and let him move on and let someone else pay him big money.
then we got to, you know, we got to the franchise tag, and first day, the Dolphins want to franchise Jarvis Landry, which doesn't seem to make a lot of sense. I mean, they're a team that they made a lot of decisions in free agency last year that didn't really work out. A lot of guys who were given contracts with multiple years of guaranteed money who are tough to move on from and tough to restructure. So they're not in great cap shape. They're not as close, perhaps, as they seemed this time a year ago to winning consistently.
Right.
So they're in a very difficult spot. I think what's going to happen is they're going to try and trade Jarvis Landry. I don't know if it's going to happen. I don't know that Landry necessarily wants to be dealt. I think he'd rather be a free agent. But if he signs that franchise tag for $16 million, the Dolphins are, I believe, $10 million over the salary cap when that happens. So they can restructure a couple deals. But it probably means the end of Dominican Sue's reign in Miami, which is not going to go well.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. Bill. Dominican, they got, if they're going to be $10 million over the cap, the first place you look is in Dominican Sue, and he's, you know, he's got an enormous cap hit. You know, it's huge. Yeah. It's a $114 million deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's an enormous contract, and it's one that they've already restructured. So even if they cut him, they're going to have $13 million in dead money on their cap next season. So they're going to be paying him an enormous amount of money for years to come, even if he's not on the roster. So the Dolphins have done this historically, whether it's been with this current administration, the previous administration. Basically under Stephen Ross, they have been very aggressive in free agency. Hasn't really worked out for them. And they tend to be kind of just erasing their previous mistakes each offseason. They want to try and make different moves to try and improve their team each offseason and kind of make the same mistakes over and over again. So the one thing they might do, and this is a possibility, is if they see a quarterback they like in the draft, maybe they move up and maybe they cut Ryan Tannehill, who they can create a lot of cap space moving on from Ryan Tannehill. So never count out the Dolphins. They are a very aggressive team. Usually it does not work out, but they are a team that, sitting 11th in the draft, it would not be shocking to me if they moved up and tried to grab their quarterback of the future, maybe with the Colts at 3.
Well, one of the things that makes Miami completely unpredictable is they've got a new offensive coordinator, new offensive line coach, three other assistant on that staff changed roles, and three other assistant coaches were fired. I mean, it's going to be an entirely new feeling staff, and I've got to think that when they get into the room as a coaching staff, they're going to have a lot of new voices that have a lot of different views than the staff did just a year ago. So who knows how that's going to go, how those conversations are going to go on draft day, and particularly in the free agent market as well. So Miami Dolphins have made a lot of changes on aspects of their coaching staff. They're going to have a lot to do with who plays and how they play and what they're going to be asked to do. Hard to anticipate that.
Right, exactly. And Adam Gase, I think, was someone who, you know, very solid track record as an offensive coordinator, comes to Miami, makes the playoffs in his first year, kind of is a golden child to some extent, right, where it's, okay, well, Adam Gase can't do wrong. And we saw last year, they weren't a good team. They were pretty ugly all year, and you can blame Tannehill getting hurt, and I can't fault them for that. Not obviously not their fault that Tannehill got injured. Some injuries elsewhere on the roster, but They hit some adversity, really, for the first time in Adam Gase's career as a primary guy running a football team. So we're going to have to see what happens and how they bounce back as a coaching staff, and then for the guys who were there, who were sticking around, most notably Gase, but also as a team as a whole. I mean, this is a Dolphins team that is imperfect by all means, but still a lot of talent, still a lot of guys who are really good. Cameron Wake, someone who is still playing at an incredibly high level. Rashad Jones is a very good safety. The receiving core is good if they bring back Landry. That's a very solid group of targets. So this is a team that beat the Patriots comfortably. So, yeah, it's going to be difficult, but they're an interesting team.
Cam Wake's 36 years old, too. I mean, the end of that train is going to happen at some point. They're starting to get old. Their secondary needs some depth. Their offensive line had some problems this last year. If something happens to Pouncey, they're in deep trouble. So, you're right. There's a lot of question marks in Miami, and it's hard to anticipate what the answers are going to be.
Hey, Bill, the big question mark here in Buffalo, Bill, deals with the quarterbacks, and as far as the moves that each AFC East team should make, you say the Bills should acquire two quarterbacks. What are you thinking, one in the draft and one in free agency?
I think so, yeah. I mean, you know, if they do that, the quarterback they get in free agency is not going to be a long-term option. It could be a Sam Bradford where he takes a one-year deal to kind of rebuild his value and go back to free agency next year. It could be a Josh McCown who is very solid for the Jets. Someone in that ballpark, but someone who you're not going to be committed to for the long term. You're committed to for 1 year to sort of be a bridge quarterback. And you figure, I mean, if you're going to get all these draft picks like Brandon Bean has, you could add depth to the roster. I wouldn't fault him for holding on to those picks and drafting four guys and trying to, you know, improve the roster here and there. But It's going to depend on what the scouting process says. I mean, if they feel like, you know, one of the top guys, Josh Allen or Josh Rosen or Sam Darnold, if they think one of those guys is worth a top five pick, well, they have the assets to go up and make that trade and get into, get to three, get to four, get to five, and draft one of those guys. So if they don't see a guy like that, then I think they're going to stay put. Maybe they go out and find Bradford and say, okay, well, if you're going to be, if you improve and you stay healthy during your first season, we're going to keep you around as a starter for the long term. So I don't know if the Bills know the answer yet, but I do think it's going to be more about what they find in their scouting process and in evaluating the quarterbacks who are coming into this year's draft versus, you know, maybe the free agents that are out there.
Yeah, I don't think they have the answer yet either. Bill, thanks for this. We appreciate it. Good to talk to you again.
Anytime, John, anytime.
Thanks. Bill Barnwell, ESPN staff writer, host of the Bill Barnwell Show, joined us on the Subway Fresh Steak Hotline. Subway Eat Fresh. His post, recent post went up today. Five offseason moves to improve all 16 AFC East teams. He's got the Bills. He says, bring in two quarterbacks. I think we all acknowledge that's the move to make. It's just how we're going to get there. And as he said, you know, I think they are still considering their options, Steve, you know, free agency and in the draft. In fact, I know that the personnel department is meeting this week here at One Bills Drive, getting set for the combine next week, probably writing down a list of questions for the combine quarterbacks they'll get a chance to meet with next week, and probably knowing that they'll have a chance to get with some agents next week too. Even though there's not really free agency and you can't really negotiate, you certainly can talk with agents for some of these quarterbacks who are going to be on the free agent market.
And they'll also be able to – I think the executives will be able to talk. You get general managers, they're talking, having casual conversations. You get a sense of how much they do value these guys and how much they do value or what they would take and what they do need. If you can give them something that they need that you don't have a high value on, that's a trade you got to make. If they need a left tackle like Cordy Glenn and they're willing to substitute a number one for Cordy Glenn, you get whoever you want for a number one and nothing else, and you get their number one and you give them Cordy Glenn, you know, that kind of deal happens. You get a sense of, well, maybe that team is willing to do something, and maybe we're in a better position to trade for that than any other team in the league because we have Chantrell Henderson is a free agent, but he's certainly a guy that is out there. But you have Cordy Glenn and Deion Dawkins on your roster, and that instead of a number one, you can give them a player. All that stuff becomes viable when you start having casual conversations at the combine, and you got to get a feel for what these guys really value on their rosters.
There are rookies to consider too, including the former Heisman Trophy winner Lamar Jackson from Louisville. He will be at the combine next week. Jackson's been in the news this week primarily because of what Bill Polian said Monday or Tuesday about how he really belongs at a wide receiver spot, and his future in the NFL is at wide receiver, not a quarterback. Well, there's been a lot of talk about that. There was a lot of talk about that on our show earlier this week. Daniel Jeremiah, former NFL scout, NFL.com, had a tweet for Lamar Jackson. He said, if a team asks you to switch to wide receiver, tell them, quote, I look forward to playing against you. That's what Daniel Jeremiah said to Lamar Jackson. Jackson responded, two words, yes, sir. I don't blame Lamar Jackson. And I understand Bill Polian's looked at Lamar Jackson. I trust his evaluation. But now is not the time for Lamar Jackson to be considering moving to wide receiver. He's got to go to the combine, throw with the quarterbacks, and
absolutely,
see what happens there, right?
Yeah, he's got to trust in his ability. This is a guy that was a really good quarterback at the college level. You can argue that he did a lot of things better than anybody else in this draft. Certainly, he's a better athlete than most of the guys that we're talking about as quarterback. We know what an NFL quarterback looks like, and certainly Josh Rosen and Sam Darnold are guys who look more like an NFL quarterback when they play than Lamar Jackson does. But I'll tell you what, there's a couple of pretty good quarterbacks in the league who have been pretty successful that look a lot more like Lamar Jackson than they do those other guys. You look at Cam Newton, the way he was when he first came in the league, and you look at Deshaun Watson down in Houston, who was scoring 30 points a game as a rookie quarterback in the NFL with the same kind of skill set that Lamar Jackson has. Now, you can go in and dig deep into this film and say, well, Lamar Jackson's not quite like Deshaun Watson, and certainly neither one of those guys is as good as Cam Newton. Nevertheless, that skill set has been able to translate for a couple of guys right off the top of your head. Russell Wilson was an unconventional quarterback when he first got in the league. He still is an unconventional quarterback. Other quarterbacks who have been great athletes have played and played well. The guy here in Buffalo who got the Buffalo Bills to the playoffs this year in Tyrod Taylor is an unconventional quarterback. So if this guy wants to play quarterback, I'm all for him. You know, I'm all for him. I want to see him play. I want to see him throw, and I want to see him give it his best shot, and good for him.
All right, we're going to take a break. We've got NFL True or False coming up, plus more of your phone calls at 803-0550 and toll-free outside Buffalo, 1-888-550-2550. Steve's with us till 3, the John Murphy Show from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back to the show, John Murphy and Steve Tasker. Steve in for Donald Jones today and tomorrow. Have you enjoyed the show so far today, Steve?
So far, that guy early on called me a genius for my and then Peter King told me I was always a sunshine guy. So it's been a pretty nice day for me. I got two compliments.
Peter King was with us in the 1 o'clock hour, or 12:30 that was. Peter King from Sports Illustrated, and just got off the phone with Bill Barnwell a minute ago. Would love to hear from you. Lines open, 803-0550. Toll free, 1-888-550-2550. Milton from Buffalo. Milton, let's try it again. You're on the air with us.
Oh, how you doing, John?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Yeah, I was calling to say that I think that the Bills should go in free agency with one of the five quarterbacks that's available from Case Keenum and all those guys. You know what I mean? At least Case Keenum.
Right. He's not going to be available. Well, he may be. I mean, yeah, right. One of the three guys from Minnesota, Kirk Cousins. Who's the fifth one?
Sam Bradford.
Bradford, Keenum, Redwater, McCown, Matt Moore, Chase Daniel, Drew Stanton, A.J. McCarron. I think I like A.J. McCarron the best out of maybe, well, except for maybe Cousins, all that crew.
How do you feel about Chase Daniel? I think you just answered my question.
I'm indifferent.
Yeah,
he's
as a 31, stopgap,
he's 31
as a,
years old. Maybe. I haven't seen him play that much football. So I don't really have – I couldn't tell. I didn't know – I got to tell you, I didn't know he was with New Orleans this last year.
Yeah, he played a little bit here against the Bills. What do you think, Milton? Is there a free agent quarterback that you'd like to see here in the Buffalo Bills?
I definitely would like Cousins, but I think, like, out of the guys you named, like, would be an upgrade to Tyrod. Then we could go through the draft. We could keep all our picks and, you know, build through the draft, kind of like what Dallas did in the early 90s. What do you think?
I agree. And listen, I'll tell you what, Bill Barnwell just said something really intriguing to me about Kirk Cousins. And he said Kirk Cousins turned the football over a ton in his early in his career. And then he kind of turned the corner, got some better coaching and yada, yada, and all that stuff. And now he's Kirk Cousins, the hottest free agent out there. And I've said this before, too, physically, Kirk Cousins to me, and I hate tooting this horn because it sounds like I'm totally on this train. Kirk Cousins reminds me of Nate Peterman. Nate Peterman reminds me of Kirk Cousins early in his career. Turned it over a lot. He had some things to learn, but had to sit behind a guy who was, you know, the heir apparent, like, you know, RG3 in Washington for Kirk Cousins and Tyrod Taylor here in Buffalo for Nate Peterman. And they, you know, they got a few chances early, and then when they got backed into a corner, they finally were forced to play Kirk Cousins when, you know, their top guy flamed out. And Cousins turned into the guy you see out there now.
I feel like Cousins has a bigger arm, stronger arm than Nathan Peterman. No?
I don't know.
Really?
Maybe. I don't know. Does he?
I feel like
you
I want
feel
to say
like that.
That?
Yeah. I was going to say that Peterman had as good arm as him. That's just what I was about to say. I was going to go
as
there.
Good an arm as Cousins.
I don't know. Does he?
I don't know.
You don't think so?
I don't think so. But again, you need to see more.
Yeah,
than
I got
to
see it. I got to ask somebody who watches him.
Yeah.
But that's the problem. That's why people are like leaning back in their chair with their hands up, saying, "Hey, I don't know if I want Nate Peterman after the 5 interception performance against their Chargers." Well, you know, you got to get over that.
Yeah, that game doesn't bother me.
Everybody's going to have a bad game. I was on a team. Jim Kelly threw 3 first quarter interceptions against the Cincinnati Bengals in our building. You know?
That game doesn't bother me that much.
Of course, he won that game.
Won it. Was that a Monday nighter?
It was a Monday nighter.
Yeah,
and
I do remember that.
He won a lot of games like that. Frank Reich threw an interception to go down 35-3 and came back.
Yeah.
You know, so you're going to have moments where the guy's right. going to turn it over. And Nate, I'm not saying if Nate Peterman turns out to be, you know, some elite all-time great quarterback, but I know this: every elite all-time great quarterback has bad days, and Nate Peterman just happened to have one on his first day. And I think, you know, you got the guy on the roster. He's been around. You know what you know what he is. You're certainly going to draft a guy or get a guy in free agency or both. There's going to be a lot of new different names at that position on the roster. I'm just saying give the guy an opportunity to compete.
Here's a call from Al in Buffalo. Go ahead, Al. Welcome. You're on the air with us.
Okay, first of all, you guys have the best sports show.
Well, thank you, Al.
That's our third compliment.
Given a vote why we should keep our present quarterbacks, because 2 years ago, the Bills were averaging 27 points a game. Then we lose our offensive coordinator. We get a new one. We lose Sammy Watkins. We lose Woods. We lose a good second-string running back. Then we have a starting rookie wide receiver. I mean, come on, give Tyrod Taylor a break.
Well, that's one way to look at it.
Yeah,
they've given him 3 years to demonstrate who he is, Tyrod, and I think they think he comes up short of what they're looking
for. Yeah, I think they do. And that's and I know Al is like, listen, there's a lot of things going on around Tyrod that are out of his control, certainly losing Sammy. Listen, I don't know how much he ever had Sammy. Sammy missed a lot of games when he was here. Robert Woods was certainly a good player and I think was Tyrod's number one go-to guy when he was here. And no question, he had a really good year for the Rams. But there's a lot to be said for – we had somebody call in on Twitter, and we mentioned it earlier, that you know there's a lot of wide receivers that don't want to play for Buffalo because they're 31st in the league in passing every year. And they can see the film, and they know that it's not all on the wideouts, that a lot of it is on the guy pulling the trigger. Some of that's probably true. So while you're saying no question, Tyrod gave the franchise a lot of good football, but they were really deficient in the one thing you want your quarterback to do, and that's throw the football all over the field. Tyrod was reluctant to throw it into tight windows. He did not throw guys open, and he just wasn't accurate enough or prolific enough in the passing game to go forward with him.
Here's a call from Chuck in Buffalo. Go ahead, Chuck. Welcome. You're on the air with us.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Steve, good to have you on board for today because you can lend some perspective to my two commentaries. The first one, the observation with respect to the team, it will have to build through the draft. Free agent market certainly is available, but Buffalo has a reputation in the NFL as not the kind of city that many modern players want to play in.
Right, I got you. Nobody wants to play in the snow.
Do you agree with that?
Well, snow becomes an element, but it can't be that bad of an element because we then talk about Green Bay and we talk about Pittsburgh. So it doesn't simply become the climate itself, but our actually the social milieu, the mix of the town, the region itself, becomes difficult for players, modern-day players, to play in.
I get you.
I
don't know if I buy it, but I hear what you're saying. And there's some guys who want to play in big, great cities. They want to play in old NFC cities. They want to play in Washington, Philly, New York,
Dallas,
and Chicago, San Francisco, all those big time, old time. And I get that. But you know, what's your other point, Chuck? Do you have another one?
The other observation, and this is, we would also go back a little bit further historically. Certainly, Tyrod is, and I'm not a particular fan one way or the other, but I think that, and you alluded to this earlier, Steve, you talked about making the offense fit the quarterback's strengths. And this, we were reluctant to, Buffalo was reluctant to take that kind, that course of action. And I think, because we go back to your Joe Capps and Lenny Dawson's even, your role in pocket. That kind of activity would have given them more wins. And you got to take into account a couple of other things when we talk about the history, the recent history of this team. It did not keep wide receivers. It certainly didn't have an offensive line that was competitive. And all those things led to it not being a consistent winner across the board.
Okay. Thanks,
I get
Chuck.
You know, I'll tell you what, Chuck, and you're right, and I get a lot of that. And there's a line of logic that seems to make perfect sense on the surface when you say, listen, Tyrod never had elite receivers. Tyrod never had all the weapons. He had changed high offensive coordinators. or the offensive coordinator didn't use him to the fullest of his potential, or all that may be true. But it also may be true that Tyrod didn't have any elite receivers because he wouldn't throw them the football when they got open. He wouldn't make the throws they need to make as an elite quarterback. There's also a line of reasoning there where these offensive coordinators, you're talking about more than one or two that could not get what they needed out of Tyrod to run an offense, an NFL offense. It could have been that the offensive coordinators had a lot of things in that were working or that would have worked had the quarterback executed it properly and thrown the football when and where he was supposed to throw it. You can make the argument on both sides of that, whether Tyrod didn't have the weapons or the weapons were there and Tyrod couldn't live up to that, particularly in the passing game. You can make both those arguments, and the one that seems to be true. And we're sitting here saying everybody feels like it's a foregone conclusion that Tyrod may be gone. He may be gone. He may be here. They may stick with him, pay him the roster bonus. They may release him and then attempt to sign him back in a new deal. He may take it because he's done it before. He redid his deal twice here before. So he may be back as a Buffalo Bill, depending on what the roster and how they foresee this thing going. There's no question they like the guy as a person. He's a great leader. He's got a lot of the intangibles. But that doesn't mean he's automatically kick to the curb. So for every argument you make that Tyrod didn't get enough help here, the argument can still be made that Tyrod didn't use the abilities or run the offense in the way that the coaches needed him to run it.
Time to play a little bit of NFL True and False. It is brought to you by Yancey's Fancy New York's Artisan Cheese. True, False. Alex Van Pelt, our old buddy, who has moved on from Green Bay to be the new quarterback's coach at Cincinnati, did an interview. He's talked about how you play to the player's strength, talked about how he's had a chance to watch some video of his quarterback, Andy Dalton, now at Cincinnati. Here's what Alex Van Pelt said. The more tape I watched, the more excited I got. I think this guy has the potential to be an elite player in the league. An elite player, Andy Dalton. That's what Alex Van Pelt says. Andy Dalton can be elite. True, false. I'm saying false.
I'm saying false.
Yeah, come on.
I mean, I like my guy.
I love Alex.
Like AVP, but
yep.
I think he's jumping on a bandwagon there, and I think he's slide into a new job.
What else could he say? He has a chance to be elite. I think that's a stretch. I think after 7 or 8 years, we know who Andy Dalton is. We know what he did. We know what he did for the Buffalo Bills, clearly. He can be an elite quarterback in the league? I don't think so. I think he's slightly better than average. All right, true, false, part two. Eagles win the Super Bowl. Doug Peterson does an interview with Rich Eisen in which he says the Eagles would have won the Super Bowl if Carson Wentz was healthy and playing. He says if Wentz had stayed healthy, the Eagles would have won the Super Bowl with Wentz, and Wentz would have been the Super Bowl MVP. True, false. I'm saying true. I think they would have. I think had Wentz played in the Super Bowl, yeah, they probably would have won. He probably would have been the MVP. What do you think?
I think it's true, too. But what are you talking about? They won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
You're talking about the guy who was going to be the MVP of the league anyway.
Right.
And you're telling
that's
them,
what I mean.
Yeah, of
the
course
MVP
they would have won it. That's the whole thing. That's
easy one for you.
Yeah. Come on, man.
Okay. All right.
Will the world champions still be world champions if they had a better player?
Yeah. Yeah, they would. Yeah. Lastly, true, false. Jarvis Landry, the Dolphins put the franchise tag on him, $16 million against their salary cap right now. They may have another move to make, maybe renegotiate, maybe trade him. Jarvis Landry is worth the trouble to the Miami Dolphins, true, false? I say false. Not quite sure what they have in mind. Maybe they're going to trade him, sign him and trade him, but I'm not quite sure. And, no, I don't think Jarvis Landry is worth the trouble to the Dolphins.
You? False.
False?
If I'm Jarvis Landry, I am signing that offer sheet as fast as I can possibly get a pen. I mean, there's no way he's, yeah. I mean, he's a good player, absolutely no question. He's a great slot receiver, very quick, very agile. The thing I like about him is not only is he a smaller, fast guy who's in and out of, can run through traffic, but he's also available. He doesn't get injured very much, and he's also on the field. But for $16 million, you need a guy who is
a
game changer. And I think you get a guy, you could pick up Tavon Austin in the free agent market and you'd have Jarvis Landry. Tavon Austin and Jarvis Landry are the same player. Tavon Austin is going to be available in free agency. I don't think $16 million is, I don't think Jarvis Landry can earn that.
I don't either.
No, as good as he can play, I don't think he's going to be able to earn that money.
All right, there you go. NFL True or False, brought to you by Yancey's Fancy New York's Artisan Cheese. Steve and I back with more in a moment. This is the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts, live at One Bills Drive, and this is Buffalo Bills Radio.
This is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
And now, what have we learned from today's show?
Well, we talked a lot and learned a little from today's show. It is presented by Advanced Alarm, providing Western New York's homes and businesses with the finest in security and home theater, the preferred alarm and home theater provider of the Buffalo Bills. Peter King joined us from Sports Illustrated and the MMQB.SI.com website. Peter King went through all of the quarterbacks drafted, quarterbacks going to be drafted in the free agents, came up with a post on Monday where he kind of targeted where those guys might go. Josh Rosen, he says, a possibility for the Buffalo Bills, the UCLA rookie. Peter King talked about that. Josh Rosen maybe winding up on the Bills roster.
I do think there's a couple of things in play. I think, let's just say the Bills don't get a quarterback of the future in free agency. And I don't know if they will or not. Maybe they'll be in love with McCarron and go hard after him. I just don't know. But let's say they need a quarterback after the first 5 weeks of free agency. To me, I think they have to, you know, basically zone in on the guy who they really like, and they've got to do whatever it takes to get him.
Yeah, of course, yeah. Bill Barnwell joined us earlier this hour from ESPN. He has written about quarterbacks. He's written about every team in the AFC and their top five needs, the things, the moves they have to make in this offseason. Bill Barnwell says one of the things the Bills have to do is acquire two quarterbacks.
It's going to depend on what the scouting process says. I mean, if they feel like, you know, one of the top guys, Josh Allen or Josh Rosen or Sam Darnold, if they think one of those guys is worth a top five pick, well, they have the assets to go up and make that trade and get into, get to three, get to four, get to five, and draft one of those guys. So, if they don't see a guy like that, then I think they're going to stay put. Maybe they don't do that and find Bradford and say, okay, well, if you're going to be, if you improve and you stay healthy during your first season, we're going to keep you around as a starter for the long term. So I don't know if the Bills know the answer yet, but I do think it's going to be more about what they find in their scouting process and evaluating the quarterbacks who are coming into this year's draft versus, you know, maybe the free agents that are out there.
Yeah, I think they're going to have a couple of different options, Steve, and yeah, probably formulating those options as we speak.
And I think one of the things, Mike, the problem is you get those top five rookie quarterbacks or top three or four rookie quarterbacks from Sam Darnold, Josh Rosen, Baker Mayfield, and let's put Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson in that. Maybe they think two of those guys are really good. Well, that means if you're going to get one, you've got to jump into the top two slots. And if you can't get into the top two slots, then how far do you stay back? You know, do you wait till they fall, then you just build your roster? And because you don't want to just go up there, because as much as we're sitting here hounding them about this quarterback thing, you don't want them, if you're the team, you don't want to take, you know, Josh Rosen or Lamar Jackson or any of those guys if you know they're not going to work out. You right. know they're not. Now, if you've seen them and you think, this guy's not the guy, you're not going to take him anyway just to make sure that the fans are sitting here going, yeah, see, they got our guy, and then he works out, and then you can, hey, it's not our fault. We all thought he was going to work, right. Even you fans. You don't want to do that. You got to pull back, and you got to be willing to sit tight and say, listen, we couldn't get the guys we wanted. We couldn't get into the top two slots, and we were stuck, so we fell back, and we started to build our team another way. You got to be ready to do that if you're the Buffalo Bills.
Let's take a quick call here. Adam in Hamburg. Go ahead, Adam. We got about 1 minute.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, guys.
Sure.
Steve, it's always nice to talk to a fellow Northwestern University alum. I thought Bills fans were going to throw the goalposts in the lake when we made the playoffs last year.
Yeah, if we'd have been at home, they would have.
But earlier on, you guys were talking about what surprises the Bills could make this offseason. And I think for me, the biggest surprise would be something that a couple people alluded to today, which is just keeping Tyrod Taylor. I mean, I got to say, I think there's no other city in the league where you make the playoffs after 17 years and it's a foregone conclusion that you're running your quarterback out of town. And whatever strife existed with Rick Dennison and his offense and Tyrod, I think we have a big opportunity to turn the page with Brian Daboll, who got Alabama to the national title game with a running quarterback. So I'll hang up.
All right. Thanks, Adam. I think it's unlikely, but it's certainly not – I wouldn't rule it out that they would keep Tyrod Taylor.
You can't rule it out completely, no question about it. I mean, and I was just sitting there talking to you that we don't know what they're going to do. There's many options that are open. There's a lot of free agent quarterbacks that are out there. There's a deep draft class at quarterback. At least on surface, it's a deep quarterback class. And the Bills have a guy that they're kind of ready to move on from. But they've also built a roster that's going to be pretty good, and they've got some holes they need to fill in other places. So there's no path that is set in stone at this point for the team, and I think it's going to be fun to watch it unfold.
Steve is back with us tomorrow. We got Greg Cosell on the show tomorrow, along with Jeff Foster, who runs the NFL Scouting Combine. I want to thank our presenting sponsor, Napa Auto Parts. Find your local Napa store online at NapaOnline.com. Production assistants, J.J. Torito, George Blass, Jeff Koltnick, Thomas Hollander, Kelly Rude, our producer, Jay Harris. We're back tomorrow at noon with the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts, live at One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.